Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Monday. It is July 9th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Thai authorities said the second phase of the operation to rescue a youth soccer team trapped in a flooded cave was underway at 11 a.m. Monday, a day after four of the 12 boys were pulled from the complex after more than 2 weeks underground. Nine people remain trapped in the cave, including the team's coach. At a news conference, Thailand's acting governor said all conditions are still as good as they were yesterday. The boys still have some strength. They've been working, apparently, to build the boys' strength center. Supplies into them, but they want to move faster today because they are afraid of the rain. Authorities have been rushing to extract the boys ages 11 to 16 and their coach from the cave as the annual monsoon bears down on the mountainous region in the far northern Chiang Rai province. Workers have been laboring around the clock to pump water out of the cave, and authorities said Monday the heavy downpours overnight did not raise water levels inside. The four boys pulled from the cave Sunday in an urgent and dangerous operation that involved them diving through the cave's dark, tight, and twisting passages. Were happy and in good health, the authorities said this morning. They said they were hungry and they wanted to eat. Still, the four were undergoing medical checks in a hospital in the capital, but they were not yet allowed to have close contact with relatives due to fear of infections. Relatives were able to see them through a glass partition, the governor said.
When they first announced the story, they said it would take up to 2 months to get them all out. They've accelerated that.
Yes.
But if you look at the diagram, the cross section of where they are and how they ended up where they are,
it's a
nightmare.
Yeah. It takes them 6 hours to get the boys out.
Well, years ago, I watched a special about these guys who were diving in these caves down in Florida, and they would have to take off their scuba gear and pass it through a small opening. Mm.
So they could fit their bodies through it.
And that's exactly what they have to do at a certain point in this swim.
So they've been trying to, like, train the boys a little bit to do this. Because this was the last resort, was to have them actually dive out. But at this point, I guess they have no other.
It's their only way.
They're running out of air, and there could be more monsoons coming in.
And don't forget, one
of the divers died trying to get them out last week.
And they're going with
the
buddy system. So they're doing two divers per child when they go to take them out. The boys and their coach went exploring in the massive Tham Luang Nang Nong Cave on June 23rd after a soccer practice and were cut off from the rainstorm when the rainstorm flooded the cave. A massive international search operation was launched, and it took 10 days to locate the boys who had taken shelter on a dry slope deep in the complex. The same group of expert divers who took part in Sunday's rescue returned to rescue the others because they know the cave conditions and what to do. Fresh air tanks needed to be laid along the underwater route. Authorities have said extracting the entire team from the cave could take up to four days, but Sunday's success raised hopes that it could be done faster. Sunday's mission involved 13 foreign divers and five Thai Navy SEALs. Two divers accompanied each boy, all of whom had been learning to dive only since July 2nd when searchers found them.
Elon Musk is reportedly accelerating a development of a special submarine that could help get the kids out.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. No, you mean Batman?
Yeah.
Elon Musk.
Right, yeah.
Also known as Batman.
Right.
Cave rescue experts have said they consider an underwater escape to be the last resort, especially with people untrained in diving. The death Friday of the former Thai Navy SEAL underscored the risk. The diver, the first fatality in the rescue effort, was working in a volunteer capacity and died on a mission to place air canisters along the passage to where the boys are, necessary for divers to safely travel the 5 to 6 hour route. There were several concerns that prompted authorities to move forward with the plan to dive the boys out. One was that it was unknown how safe and dry the area where they had taken shelter would stay as Thailand's rainy season, which lasts until late October, and they said it will actually pick up pace. The other and perhaps more worrying was the oxygen levels in the complex were falling close to dangerous levels. Two women were found dead at the Jersey Shore on Sunday afternoon. The Atlantic County Prosecutor's Office Major Crimes Unit is investigating the deaths as suspicious. The women's bodies were discovered at the Vassar Square condominiums at 4800 Boardwalk in Ventnor City. busy. Police were talking to residents all day yesterday. According to one resident, the incident occurred on the 8th floor of the building, and they began seeing police activity around 10:30 in the morning. The elevators were brought to the ground floor, and nobody was allowed upstairs while the investigation was taking place. Officials say this appears to be an isolated incident, and the public is not in any danger. The victim's names have yet to be released. There's no word on any arrests or potential suspects at this time. Anyone with information about the suspicious deaths, however, is being asked to contact the Atlantic County Prosecutor's Office. A teenager riding his bike in the Grays Ferry section of Philadelphia is fighting for his life after being shot at multiple times at point-blank range, police say. Officers on patrol heard several gunshots at 12:30 Monday at 26th and Tasker Streets. Police say a 16-year-old boy was found at the scene suffering from a gunshot wound to the torso. A 20-year-old male victim was shot multiple times in his arm, torso, and back. They say at least seven shots were fired. Both were taken to Penn Presbyterian Medical Center. The teen is listed in critical condition, the 20-year-old in stable. Police found seven spent shell casings in very close proximity to where the victims had collapsed, so police say it appears the shooter was firing shots from point-blank range at both of the victims. Police say there's a possibility the incident was captured on cameras, both private surveillance as well as real-time crime cameras from the city. They're also knocking on doors, hoping to find a witness. At this point, there is no known motive. All right, let's do sports this morning. Nick Kingham's pitched six solid innings and drove in two runs, helping the Pirates avoid a three-game sweep with a 4-1 win against the Phillies yesterday afternoon in Pittsburgh. In his eighth major league start, Kingham allowed one run and four hits with five strikeouts and only one walk for his first win since the beginning of May. The loss ended the Phillies' six-game winning streak, but they are still tied with the Atlanta Braves for first place in the National League East. They have a doubleheader today against the Mets. Zach Eplin gets the start in the day game, which is scheduled to start at 4:10. Aaron Nola will start in the night game, which is set to begin at 7:10. The World Cup is down to its final four. Tomorrow, France will play Belgium, and on Wednesday, England will play Croatia. The finals are in Russia on the 15th. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. Yeah. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. An extended holiday weekend for us, and we are back loaded for bear, and we got plenty of things in store for you. We have a few events pending that I want to make sure that you're aware of and that you get getting signed up for, because the Belly Flop at Valley Forge Casino Resort in the Valley Beach poolside
is yes. going
to be coming along on July 19th. Now, that is free for anybody to attend. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. It's this cool little happy hour thing that we do. But we need you to sign up. The deadline is this Friday, and we have a $500 cash prize for the winner, but it's all about bragging rights, of course.
Yes.
And if you've got a theme, if you've got an idea, some style, and you want to be one of our participants, you need to go to WMMR.com and click on events, or you can just see the banner that's right there. It says Preston and Steve's Belly Flop Championship. And you don't, as Steve has said on many occasions, you don't have to be a big person
no.
to win this event. We've had skinny, scrawny. In fact, the more puny you look, the better it might be.
We had a dude who couldn't have been more than 150, 160 pounds, made a huge splash. But the splash, the belly flop, is not the whole thing.
That's just part of it. Style is a huge part of it. I mean, the smack is
important. It's a crowd pleaser.
It doesn't necessarily have to be a big splash, but you got some style, a little panache involved.
Sell the drama.
And we need your information, and if you know somebody who is perfect for this, a bit of an extrovert, if you will, then let them know about it. It's a 21 and over event. It's absolutely free of charge for you to come out and join us and get signed up for this, because we want you to be a part of it.
And you know what? To tell you the truth, I think the bigger spectacle is the one that sticks with me the longest, rather than the actual winner of the contest.
Yeah.
Did the Hebrew Hammer win last year?
The Hebrew Hammer might have won.
All I remember is him because of his
bathing suit presentation.
Yeah.
All right, so get signed up for that. And we also have our Phillies Hottest Hits underway, Phillies Hottest Swimsuit. So, ladies, we got to get your pictures in as soon as possible. And we have a lot more to give away than our Belly Flop Championship. For that, we have $1,000 in cash and prizes. $1,000 cash and $1,000 in prizes. Steven Singer Jewelers. And a photo shoot from Allison Dunlap Photography. So that deadline is coming up as well. You want to get on that as soon as possible. You have to be at least 18. Go to WMMR.com. And the deadline, we're calling for Wednesday. We're going to see if that's going to hold or not. We'll check on that. And we have a new Word of the Week prize. We have a two-hour axe-throwing experience for 10 people.
in at Chopper's Hatchet House in Cherry Hill. Casey's been there.
I went there. As it turns out, I'm kind of a natural. I'm
really? At hatchet throwing?
Yeah, at hatchet throwing. I was pretty good at it right off the bat. I think this is something that Preston would be a master at.
All right. I have to go do it. So yeah. We have a chance to win that. That's the Word of the Week prize. We have a big announcement coming up about something that we're doing and something that you can be a part of. And we'll get those details as we get closer. We're going to do it around the Bizarre File. And we might be having a hottie cam this morning. I always say might until I actually know.
You never know. There's a whole different time schedule that hot people work on.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. So
we should.
We'll get those details a little bit later on this morning. So we have those things and more taking place. Welcome back to the work week. If you as well had a long week or just a weekend, because the weather was just spectacular this weekend.
Yeah.
It finally feels normal. It's fantastic.
It was so glorious for 2 days, and today's going to be a continuation of it, just a little bit warmer. But this is what you want it to be all the time.
One out of summer.
This Justin. No hottie cam.
There it is. There it is.
Hey, she just got 3 a.m.
Hey, guys. That's it. Honestly, attractive people, we love you, but you're completely unreliable.
We have a backup hottie cam.
Do we? Do.
No lie. We have a backup hottie
does
cam.
Does this person's first name begin with a Q?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they come with the queue.
Okay, they come with the queue.
We're going to get to that later on.
I'm not betting on it, but it'll be okay.
We're going to take a quick break. We will come back in just a moment or two, and I have plenty of stories for you to pass along with the entertainment report coming up, a stupid question, some stuff to give away. Stay with us.
Yeah.
Be back in a second.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, thanks, Kath. So we're going to do a first stupid question this morning. We're going to give away a 4-pack of tickets to the Keystone Truckin' Nationals at Maple Grove Raceway, and that's the 20th and 21st. So the question I have for you is astrological in nature.
Mm.
There are three zodiac signs represented by animals with horns. What are they?
What are the three animals with horns?
Yeah, 215-263-WMMR. There are three zodiac signs represented by animals with horns. Oh, those kind of horns. Okay. I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
Automobile horns.
Yeah.
Train horns.
Yep. Various kinds of horns.
Horns.
215-263-WMMR. Call right now. I have a whole lot of birthdays. I want to get to these. Today is Monday, July 9th. We have people like Jack White celebrating birthdays today. Jack White, the White Stripes, obviously, the Raconteurs, the Dead Weather. Not that he was in Detroit. He did a free show for a high school that was graduate, hadn't celebrating the graduation for the seniors. And
Walk Hard.
Yeah. Walk Hard. Oh,
absolutely.
My God.
Absolutely. Elvis Presley.
I forgot about that.
He's legendary.
So Jack is celebrating his 43rd birthday today. Whole lot of birthdays, so I'm going to move right along. It's also Courtney Love's birthday today. That was during an interview, right?
That was an actual laugh and a question. Yeah, play it again.
Yes. Yeah, and that's Courtney Love.
Oh, my God.
She's celebrating 54 today. Recently, you know, this whole thing with her, with Frances being her daughter and her ex-husband and the guitar and all this has been going on. He's now saying that they had a plot out to kill him and all these other
allegations. Yes, she could be brought up in front of a judge because there could be a case. He's saying they were thinking of kidnapping.
Yeah. So she's 54 today. The great Tom Hanks celebrates his birthday.
To say about that.
That's right. Tom is 62 today.
I was just watching a YouTube clip of him. I guess there's a couple of things popping up because of his birthday. It was when he was a karate expert on Happy Days.
He was a karate expert on Happy Days?
He had a vendetta against Fonzie.
What?
You have got to see it. It's hilarious.
I do not remember
Tom Hanks
at all.
He's in a karate gi. They're in the diner. He karate chops, you know, Fonzie's table in half.
Oh, my
God. You got to see it. So that's from where he came from.
Was he convincing?
He was interesting. You know, it's really not a lot of dramatic latitude there. Here it is. There you go.
A long way from Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
And Sully and Captain Phillips and all the great movies that he's been in as of late. So happy 62nd. And by the way, we're watching this clip right now. He's wearing a full karate gi, standing in Arnold's.
Right, standing in Arnold's.
And Fonzie's wearing a suit. I need to know what happened to put Fonzie in the suit. That's a little bit more than a suit and tie. I don't ever remember an episode.
It's pretty amazing. You have to watch it.
All right, I'm going to watch it later. Yeah, take it off the screen for now. We'll check it
Let's
later
Let's just do
on.
Commercials now and you can watch it.
Yeah. So he is 62 years old today. Another great actor, Chris Cooper.
Yes.
Remember from movies like Seabiscuit and American Beauty and Adaptation and The Bourne Supremacy. He's great. He's 67 today. Jimmy Smits. Another great actor is 63.
He's in a really good movie about Santeria called The Believers. You remember that one?
Yeah. It was,
with Martin Sheen.
Martin Sheen was the lead in that. Yeah, I enjoyed
that
movie.
Scary movie.
He's 63 today. Speaking of scary, it's O.J. Simpson's birthday today.
Yeah.
The Juice is 71.
We're going to Chuck E. Cheese.
He's celebrating his 71st birthday today by going to Chuck E. Cheese. So happy birthday to him, I guess.
Let's jump into Money Booth.
It's Richard Roundtree's birthday.
Oh!
Shaft.
I just watched Shaft.
Did you really?
I love that movie.
Yeah?
I love those blaxploitation movies of the 70s. Mm-hmm. Shaft was in a league of its own.
Yep. He's celebrating his 76th birthday today. Does he still dabble, do cameos or anything like that?
Yeah, I think so.
So happy birthday to him. Also, another guy who's getting up there in age but is still great, Brian Dennehy.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. He was in Rambo.
He was the sheriff.
He was actually in First Blood.
First Blood, I'm sorry. You're correct, yes.
You got to be correct with your pictures.
Yeah.
I'm just passing through.
I enjoyed First Blood.
Yeah.
It got really stupid after that, a couple of movies, but I really liked First Blood.
It's just a real... just kind of an organic story. He's passing through town. He gets into a little bit of trouble, and then it escalates.
Yeah.
You're right. The other ones bordered on science fiction, but they brought it back around with Rambo.
Yeah. So Brian Dennehy, let us not forget Tommy Boy.
Yes, and a really loving dad.
Yeah.
So I let my son watch it the other day, last week.
Rambo?
No, Tommy Boy.
Oh.
All right, long story short. The beginning of the movie's on. He's in the room. I'm like, all right, dude, hang out. Let's watch this movie. And it's kind of right before his dad dies. And when his dad died, it affected my son. Yeah. It really did. He goes, did he really die? And I'm like, well, in the movie, he's dead.
Yeah.
You know, but like, no, in real life, I'm pretty sure he's still alive.
It's probably a good time to tell you that every one of us will be dead soon.
I said, in real life, the father's dead, but the father's alive, but Tommy Boy's dead.
Mm.
He died of a drug overdose in Chicago.
Did you tell him that?
No.
Okay.
Here are the photos.
Here are the photos.
It's a little bit of spittle there out of his mouth.
Sleep tight.
Wow. Brian Dennehy, he is 80. A gentleman that we've worked with in the past, Steve. He was a super nice guy, Fred Savage.
Yes.
Really?
42. Our preferred director, right, Preston?
I think so.
I think that's kind of been... This is in our contract, basically. When we do any television work, we want Fred Savage as our director.
So it was on the set of It's Always Sunny, and we were shooting down at City Hall, and it was great because Fred Savage was directing the episode, and at some point, Rob McElhenney, there's a crowd of people watching.
Oh, a ton of people.
And Rob just goes, hey, everybody, it's Kevin Arnold from the Wonder Years! And points at him, and Fred Savage just kind of hangs his head. He's smiling, going, oh, what are you doing to me?
So great.
It was great.
So, unfortunately, The Wonder Years right now is not available on Netflix or, as far as I know, Hulu or Amazon Prime to stream. I do want to tell you guys, though, on Netflix, the Vietnam documentary. Have you guys, anybody
not
started
yet.
Watching
is
that?
Fred Savage in it?
No, but So The Wonder Years makes me think of Vietnam because in the, you know, early...
And Rambo is in Vietnam.
Yes. And
going.
Rob Lowe was in Tommy Boy and that show with Fred Savage.
My older brother always used to give me wedgies.
Wait a minute.
And there was a beautiful girl who lived across the street. Her name is Winnie Cooper. I wanted that bitch so bad I could taste it.
Wow.
Wait Winnie a minute. So why'd you bring up Rob Lowe?
The grinder.
He did The Grinder. He was in there with Fred Savage. Fred Savage was in Wonder Years.
Right, which
Winnie Cooper's brother died in Vietnam.
Okay. A planet
in the Wonder
asteroid
Years.
Asteroid wiped out the dinosaurs.
So can I ask what you were going to say about the Vietnam documentary? It's great?
It's great.
Thank you.
Ken Burns.
Okay, so Fred Savage is 42. We could have just said, it was great. You need to see it. He's 42.
I was going there.
We had to figure out where we're going.
Yeah.
It was like an escape the room.
Listen, I took a left turn, and then Steve took three more left turns to get us back on track.
Okay. Fred Savage is 42. Kelly McGillis has her birthday, too, from Top Gun. Yep, she's 61 years old today.
I didn't want any of those pilots to know that I'm into you.
So she's 62 today. It's also John Tesh's birthday today. Remember him?
Yes.
The TV
personality. The longest head on earth.
He was on E! For the longest time.
Wrote actually a couple of sports themes that are still used. Made a fortune off those. Is married to Connie Selica.
Is it the NBA theme that he does?
Is that what he did?
I think that's his.
Yeah, this. He's actually an accomplished composer.
And one of the most fun interviews we ever had.
Yeah.
He was ripping on John Tesh.
Absolutely. And he's married to Connie Selica?
Yes.
Oof.
Yeah, good score, right?
Nice. He's 66.
All right.
And then the last birthday I saw is author Dean Koontz.
Always liked his work, horror stuff.
Yeah, he's 73. I pulled up his list. I didn't recognize any of the titles. I've never read his works, but he has written a just ton of books.
And he co-wrote, I think it was The Talisman with Stephen King, with Richard Bachman.
That's a Bachman book, but I didn't know Koontz. I read that.
Yeah, I think Koontz Dean Koontz co-wrote it.
Interesting. Yeah. All right, so Dean Koontz is 73 today. All right, let's see if somebody has the answer to this question. I wanted to know... there are three zodiac signs represented by animals with horns. Name them. 215-263-WMMR is a number. So I am going to go to, let's try out Steph and see if she knows. Hey, Steph, how you doing?
Hey, it's Seth.
Oh, Seth.
Sorry, Steph.
I guess you guys.
It's just good. It's a
still some fresh intern.
Yeah, Steph, Seth. This is sorry.
Okay, so Seth, do me a favor. Tell me the three animals represented with horns, please.
It's Aries the ram, Taurus the bull, and Capricorn the goat.
He nailed it. Boom. Yay! Nice work, Steph. Hang on a second. We are going to get your information. And we are going to give you a 4-pack of tickets to the Keystone Truckin' Nationals at Maple Grove Raceway, July 20th and 21st. You can visit MapleGroveRaceway.com. For tickets and information at the box office, number one, no surprise, Ant-Man and the Wasp brought in a whole bunch. I think it was 100 and... Well, these are incorrect numbers here.
$100?
No, it says 70, 76 million. I thought it was more than that.
It is more than that.
Yeah, I thought it was like 120 or something along those lines.
All right. Well, at least it was number one. That definitely for sure. You saw it, correct?
Yeah, I did.
All right. We'll get your review in a
minute. Yeah.
Maybe just over the weekend and since the 4th, it's been more.
Yep. All right. So then you have The Incredibles 2 came in second. Jurassic World was third, followed by The First Purge. Sicario was fifth. Uncle Drew was sixth, followed by Ocean's 8, Tag, Won't You Be My Neighbor? And rounding out the top 10 was Deadpool 2. So it's summertime and the movies. A lot of good stuff out there. We're going to begin with some behind-the-scenes drama at Miss America. It continues to resemble the too ridiculous to be true plot twist of a subpar basic cable original movie. In addition to the leaked slut-shaming emails, catfights about weight gain, and CEO trying to force an employee to marry his daughter... It now seems there is a power struggle involving Gretchen Carlson. Carlson, a former Miss America and one of the women behind Roger Ailes' ouster at Fox News following sexual harassment allegations.
Oh, yeah, I liked her. I liked her a lot.
You liked her a lot?
Yeah. She, the way she would eat wings.
Suck on the bone.
She was my wings girl. I had some ribs girls and some wings girls, and she was a wings girl.
Yeah. And what would she have to do while eating the wings? She would have to...
She'd have to scowl while, and then I would fart.
Wow. Really gross.
She took over as chair at Miss America after the scandals broke, determined...
All right, you're going to pretend you're a chair. And I'm going to sit on you, and then I'm going to fart.
Even Kathy smiled at that.
Really?
Yeah, you did. I saw you.
I saw a cute picture of a baby. Not only on did my she smart, screen.
She did the heart thing with both her hands.
Oh. But anyhow, she was determined to remake and modernize the institution. Now, she started by canceling the swimsuit competition, which enraged many, including several former pageant participants. Per Page Six, though, Carlson was also behind two former Miss Americas and two former state title holders getting booted from the board just months after joining. So while their exits were framed as voluntary, Page Six has reported that Kate Schindel, who is president of the Actors Equity Association.
Schindel.
Laura Kapler-Fleiss, who is wife of Bachelor whiz Mike Fleiss. Jennifer Vaden-Barth and Valerie Crooker-Clemons.
Everyone has triple names.
I guess because they're married they do that. Posted messages in a closed Facebook group claiming that they were essentially fired. Now, I don't know what all the reasoning is behind that, but apparently it's causing some behind-the-scenes issues. Now, I don't know exactly what's going to come
up. The issues is that they're looking at potential advertisers and ratings and promoting the show, and they all, at least a lot of them, believe that without the swimsuit competition, it's going to be a clunker. So there's a lot of fear about that.
Yeah. So we'll see how this affects the way they operate that whole thing. After moving to London a few months ago, Meghan Markle seemingly has now a bit of a British accent.
Hey,
oh, God.
It happens, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Happened with Madonna.
Two months.
A now viral video from Meghan's June visit to Chester shows, according to some, the Duchess of Sussex sporting a new lilt. The fan recorded audio is a bit garbled, but listeners are detecting a distinct change in inflection when she said, "The sun was shining for us. We're very lucky all around." Now, I haven't heard it yet. But listen,
it's great being here. Yeah.
Spot on. That sounds Australian.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. It's not the first time that Meghan is courting controversy with her accent. In February, fans pointed out that when she said scone, it rhymed with gone, which is a classic English pronunciation. So scone.
Aha. Uh-huh.
When Americans say scone, it usually rhymes bone.
And scone here.
Scone if you're in the Philly area.
I have an ego frozen waffle.
But as a voice coach told the Huffington Post, when a trained actress is surrounded by people with a particular accent, it's not surprising that she'd pick up some of the new patterns.
Yeah, I think you'd start to just naturally by assimilation.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's the one that was outlandish was Madonna, who was speaking totally affected. And it just sounded ridiculous.
Well, my son's friend, his father is originally from England, but he's lived here for a long time. He has just a slight little tinge of English in there.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's American accent or you know, Northeastern. But they went back to London a few weeks ago, and his son said that it just, when they
came
got
right back,
it just fell right
wow,
back.
Wow, yeah.
And the same thing if you're, because I lived in the South for a while, and when I was a kid, I had a really strong Southern accent. My parents have Southern accents.
It's so hard to imagine that with you now, but I have no doubt you did.
But when I do go back, it's easy to slide into a little bit of that.
Where do you notice it first? What words first?
In the South,
yeah,
things like hey instead of hi, and
right,
you know, and it's hard to say, but it's been a while since I've been back, but I know that you can slide into it fairly easy. So Patricia Fletcher, the voice coach, said that if she has a good ear for music, rhythm and inflection, and is now surrounded by British English speakers, especially people she loves, it's not a surprise that our sounds might adjust a bit, perhaps even unconsciously.
Is she saying boot to bonnet? Is she saying schedule? Is she writing color with a U?
Don't know about that
okay.
stuff.
Okay. Those are all the telltale signs.
We'll keep you posted. Ariel Winter is taking a step back from Twitter. She is, this is according to her rep. They put out a statement that said, Ariel is taking a break from Twitter and engaging with commenters on her other platforms because of the constant negativity she experiences. She needs a moment to breathe and enjoy herself without judgment.
Dear God, what this girl has had to put up with.
Yeah. This follows report said she went on a rant about how invasive paparazzi can be. She had said if a paparazzi attempts to take another effing picture in front of my house one more time, I swear to God I will find any sort of legal action. She continued to say, sad when you literally enjoy your job, but you hate every part of the fame aspect. Also sad when you desperately want to move somewhere remote so you can just live a normal life in peace. And I can't speak for anyone else, but I hate being followed and I hate my S out in the news.
Well, they shouldn't be camped out in front of her house. But she was going out, and she was out in public in what was considered pretty revealing outfits. Yeah. And that's what started to build the interest in her out and about. Yeah. So, if she plays it quietly for a while, they'll probably go away.
Yeah, that can happen. And then she'll be begging for him to come back.
Yes, she'll be out in those booty shorts in a heartbeat.
So that was seemingly it for now. We'll see how long this little break she takes is. Honoring the man who paved the way for dozens of daredevils, Travis Pastrana succeeded in triplicating three of Evel Knievel's iconic motorcycle jumps on Sunday night.
I was furious because I was flipping around the channels. I was just, I like doing my sort of a smorgasbord sort of thing. And I saw this. And it appeared to me, it was coming up, it still had not started yet. It appeared to me like a documentary about Evel Knievel. Okay. That's at least in the phrasing. I didn't realize it was him doing the three events last night.
It was last night. So what did he do? Snake River Canyon?
For you here. So donning his own Knievel-like costume, Pastrana used an Indian Scout FTR 750 to jump 143 feet to clear 52 crushed cars.
Yeah.
192 feet over 16 Greyhound buses. And he concluded the Evel Live event on the History Channel by jumping 149 feet to clear the fountains at Caesar's Palace.
That's the one that almost killed Knievel.
Yeah. And he said, even though it wasn't the longest jump, that one was the hardest. He had said, it's just such an honor to live a day in Evel's footsteps and literally his boots. To be here in Las Vegas, so much of my history has been here. I proposed to my wife here. I had the first Nitro Circus show here. This was definitely the coolest thing I've ever done. Nearing the end of an impressive career as a stunt showman and professional motorsports competitor. Admitted that he was nervous leading up to the event, which began in an empty lot behind Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino, Paris, Las Vegas, and Bally's Las Vegas.
So I'm going to have to watch this because, these were all... these were all historical when the original ones occurred.
Oh, yeah, no question.
And you've seen that footage countless times of Knievel's body,
in slow motion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did it, man. We're watching the footage right now.
Yeah, he's pretty obviously amazing. Got much better equipment to use now than Evel did back in the day.
Evel Knievel was using a rickshaw, which made it much more problematic.
After his first two jumps over the cars and buses, Pastrana had a police escort while riding the same motorcycle along the Las Vegas Boulevard, all while popping wheelies and stopping to high five and shake hands with fans. He jumped the fountain in the opposite direction that Knievel had, with the area much more built out than it was on New Year's Eve 1967. Pastrana had less space for his approach, leaving him a shorter distance to reach approximately 70 miles per hour before takeoff. Knievel, of course, came up short on his attempt at jumping the fountain, and he had hit just the edge of it before the landing ramp, lost control, flew headfirst over the handlebars, and tumbled along the pavement, crushing his pelvis and fracturing several other bones in the process.
Totally effed him up.
Yep, exactly. So that's pretty cool that stuff continues to happen, and they do tributes to him like that. But
effectively wiped Evel Knievel out of history.
And he's a great guy. We've talked to him on a couple of occasions. He's really cool.
Really cool. Is there any talk of him jumping any sharks or anything like that? How far was that jump?
Oh, for that Fonzie did?
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty impressive. I remember that.
Jumping the shark was on
water skis, yeah.
Oh, it was on water skis?
Yeah, you thought it was... No, no.
Okay.
Now, he did do a jump at Arnold's parking lot.
Yeah, yes. He jumped trash cans.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Arnold's what it was. Lot.
And that could have been deadly.
Yep.
But then he was too busy. He had an old friend, Tom Hanks, showed up at a karate gi.
Mm-hmm. Helped him out.
Yeah.
after her success in getting low-level drug offender, Alice Marie Johnson released from her life sentence last month, Kim Kardashian promised that she would continue her push to free other inmates.
The fight continues.
TMZ reports Kardashian met with prisoners at the California Institution for Women in Corona Friday afternoon after touring the grounds and living quarters. Sources tell the gossip site.
Do they ever get to go home?
That she
it's a prison.
Is working on a program for women to help them adjust to life after prison. So it's going to be her cause.
There we go. Maybe she can hire some of them to work in her butt room.
In an essay for Wealth Simple, Kim talks about how she's made, saved, and spent money.
Wealth Simple, poverty bad.
She claims that her parents never gave her a cent.
Really?
She said they never gave me money for rent or anything. Nothing. Huh. I always was working. I never asked people for money. That was never really my thing. I always just figured it out. The way that my parents taught me was, hey, when you're 18, you've seen this lifestyle, and I'm sure you're going to want to upkeep it. If you're going to want to live this way, you're going to have to get a job.
You're
going to
have to make a porn movie.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's all right. When did she actually officially move out? Do you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I have no doubt that she, you know, she's certainly creating her own money now, but she certainly had some seed money, I'm sure, from the family, a little bit at least.
I don't know.
And they just booted out the door. Would she have a stick with a balled up bed sheet on it at the end? Get out of here.
The hobo stick?
Yeah, get out of here with your stick.
She admits that her notorious momager, Kris Jenner, definitely helped her build her empire. She said, my mom's really smart, so I love to call her for advice all the time. I think it would be such a great book for her to write, a money book. Anytime I have a question, she'll say, yes, that's a good investment. No, don't do that. Trust me, that's stupid. Don't do that.
Will she say yes or yes?
She said, if I wanted to buy a car or a piece of jewelry or something back in the day, she would just be like, no, it's not worth it. She always tells me to buy real estate.
Mm.
So she and husband Kanye hope to pass along the same money savvy to their three children by not giving them too much. Said, I worry about giving my kids too much. We don't want gifts. They have to really earn it. But we talk about it all the time, about not getting too much and just trying to be as grounded and well-rounded as possible.
Yeah, you need honest work, like mommy's Kimojis or daddy's whoopity poop song.
Don't they have a golden toilet? Didn't we report on that years ago?
I mean,
like
maybe
a solid gold toilet or something like that. So, yeah. that's grounded. we'll stay with the Kardashians for one more story. Khloe lashed out at a disgusting fan who said that True wasn't cute at all. Yeah, she is Mama Bear. In a now-deleted post, the user wrote, is it just me, or is Khloe Kardashian's baby True not cute at all? She saw the post and responded, what self-respecting adult would even comment on a child's appearance? What type of disgusting human being are you? It's pathetic that you are this miserable in your life. I just don't get why people have that much energy to actually protect all of this negativity. That takes a lot more energy than just being kind.
And isn't it, in fact, an indictment of the United States of America?
You know what? And I'm looking at a post from her right now. It's not the same one, but it's got 2,598,873 likes, which means there's going to be thousands and thousands of comments. How do they stumble across just like one negative comment and pick it out? How many will
I don't understand.
Will you go through
if
you have thousands and thousands of comments? Or is there someone that you pay to go through all the comments on your social media account and then point out ones to you? You know, you might want to address
maybe. Hey, look what I found. One who says your baby's ugly.
Well, sometimes the people will retweet the negativity or comment on the comments. Mm-hmm. And so those, you know, work their way to the top in your feed. And so maybe that's how it came across her screen. Who knows?
Yep. Anthony Bourdain left the bulk of his $1.2 million estate to his 11-year-old daughter, Ariane, court paper show. I'm surprised it was only $1.2 million.
Yeah, so am I. Guy was never not working on multiple projects.
Well, listen to this. His assets reportedly include $425,000 in cash and savings, $250,000 in personal property, and $500,000 in royalties, residuals, and other intangibles. I would think that he would have had his entire estate.
Not unless
$1.2 million for a guy who's that successful.
You know, piling around with heads of state and out and about. I don't know. Maybe he just kept a more simple.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe he was living outside of his means.
Maybe he's living outside of his means.
Not really sure. Twilight star Ashley Greene married Paul Corey on Friday in San Jose, California.
Talk about a power wedding.
Well, among the family and friends attending, there was a lot of people there.
Really?
Liam Hemsworth, Zac Efron, Rob Pattinson, Brittany Snow, Lauren and Aaron Paul.
Wow.
And Evan and Ashley Simpson Ross. So it was, it was a well-attended event.
Two losers generated that kind of an audience.
Green wore a custom Katie May, then later changed into a reception gown by Wendy Williams Stern.
She's actually lovely. I don't know about him, and I don't know what he does, but she's had a fairly good career acting-wise.
Yeah.
You know, we wish him only the best, President.
I do. So Lantern Entertainment and the Weinstein Company have come to terms on two major sticking points in their deal, a price and a close date. So they agreed on a final purchase of $21 million and expect to close on July 13th. A bankruptcy court hearing is scheduled for July 11th, and Lantern also agreed to make numerous payments to creditors to avoid a lengthy court battle.
All right, so and they're obviously going to not use the name Weinstein, right?
Oh, no, yeah, they're not. I don't think they're going to do that.
Charles Manson Productions.
So they
figure it has a better reputation.
Hell yes. So they're getting closer to...
and then you can have Manson instead of the MGM Lion. Yay!
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yay!
Just his face in that circle logo.
Right.
I love it. Let's see. Sacha Baron Cohen is in talks to do a comedy series trolling Donald Trump, according to The Hollywood Reporter. He teased the show in a July 4th tweet, captioning a logo of Trump University, and it says, Sasha graduates soon. Showtime has also been teasing a comedy series with videos that promise, quote, the most dangerous show in the history of television.
Wow, maybe it has dynamite strapped to it.
It might be, let's see, it's expected to drop on July 15th. So we'll see what that is all about. Amy Adams filled fans in on the status of Disenchanted, Disney's hotly anticipated sequel to 2007's Enchanted. I love that movie. I thought it was really cute.
It's cute. Very cute. My daughter, when you first really saw her and fell in love with her, Amy Adams.
Yeah, and my daughter was still just... She was probably 2-3 years old when it came out, yep. And she loved it.
Yeah.
And it was so cute to watch her watch the movie. But she said, I am absolutely up for that, meaning a sequel, when she was asked about reprising her role. She said, we're working on it. So hopefully. Adam Shankman is attached to direct the sequel, but no word on when it would move forward.
Did Shankman direct the original?
You know what? I don't know about that. It's quite possible. The original pulled in $340.5 million globally.
Wow. And that was out of left field. No one saw that coming.
It was nominated for 3 Best Song Oscars and starred, in addition to Adams, Patrick Dempsey, James Marsden, Timothy Spall, Idina Menzel, Rachel Covey, and Susan Sarandon. So a sequel, I think, would absolutely work. And then one last story. Felicity alum.
Felicity.
Felicity.
Tonight on a powerful Felicity. Felicity shows up late for a chemistry class.
I'm sorry. I thought it was an 8.
That's the go to detention. Go to detention. Felicity.
Carrie Russell.
Carrie Russell. She, formerly of the Long Locks, who killed her career by cutting her hair, but has now grown her hair back and is doing great things with the Americans.
So Carrie Russell was Felicity.
sounded like history in Russell.
It's Carrie Russell's history. Presented by Rita, that she grew her hair back, and it was wonderful.
Oh,
she plays a commie bitch who pretends she's one of us. Those commies.
In what?
In the Americans.
Oh, the Americans.
You don't watch that? She's a spy.
I don't watch that.
It's like that John Travolta, Kelly Preston movie.
Oh, yeah. You know, The Experts.
The Experts.
Mm-hmm. but she may join J.J. Abrams and Star Wars Episode 9.
We forget that it was J.J. Abrams who created and wrote a number of the
Felicity episodes.
I did forget that, yeah.
Yeah.
No word yet on whether she'll tackle a hero or a villain in the epic franchise. The movie begins shooting in London this month, by the way.
Unless we forget also that Carrie Russell won Mr. Skin's Best Butt Shot, I believe, in the Anatomy Awards.
She's got a nice pooper.
No kidding. Casey says
she's
got
a hell
nice...
of a pooper. Kind of butt you want to spend a weekend spelunking at, if you know what I'm saying. Oh.
Yeah, we are back from vacation.
Yes, we are.
Oh,
yeah, this is nice. It's good stuff.
Look, there's some soccer players in there from Thailand.
Some kids. I'm going to help you out.
You guys all right?
Wait, I see light from the badge.
Oh, God.
We can do this.
Wow.
It's a new survival story unlike any other.
Look this way, kids. We go. Is it a stalagmite or a stalactite?
The tight or from the ceiling stalactite hang on top. And the mites are...
You know that?
Yeah, that's the old stalactite.
It's tight. It hangs on, and stalagmite might make it to the ceiling if it keeps growing.
So. And all of this is taking place in Felicity's
in Felicity's butt.
Okay, yeah.
You know,
it's all based on science.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Felicity.
By the way, it also, the franchise also stars Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, and Adam Driver, ooh, among many others.
I didn't know that cast. That J.J. was going to direct this episode.
Yeah, so that's what the word is.
Okay.
Yeah. So, clips?
Clips!
Yeah, why not?
Speaking of Amy Adams... We have her here while trying to solve... Not here in the studio.
What the hell's going on?
All right, so... While trying to solve a psychological puzzle from her past, a reporter returns to her hometown to cover the murder of two girls in sharp objects. And here, Amy Adams talks about how her character copes with rage.
So often women internalize rage instead of externalize it. And Camille's just the perfect example of that. And the way that Gillian writes it in the book and the way that it was explored in the series just spoke to me.
God damn you!
Sharp Objects series premiered last night.
Did anybody watch it? It's supposed to be really good.
I actually started watching it as I was falling asleep last night. And so it was moving really, really slow, which is good for me to fall asleep. But I'm going to invest because HBO has been doing some really, really great things with these limited series.
Yeah, the more the merrier.
Yeah, and when it's, you know, involves like a murder. Crime and and all that sort of stuff, you know, they do a great job at that.
Any idea how many episodes this will be?
I think it's six.
Okay.
6 to 8, probably.
68.
All right, let's do the next clip. Here we go. On the 15th season of So You Think You Can Dance, 10 contestants compete to be the best dancer. Here, Judge Vanessa Hudgens talks about what inspires her to help these dancers make their dreams come true. Here we go.
I know what it feels like to start from nowhere. And the fact that I get to be a person to give these guys a chance is just like, oh, my heart kind of melts.
new episode of So You Think You Can Dance airs tonight, 8 p.m., and that is on Fox. And that's what I have for you this morning. Drive, here's a text says, driving my kids to daycare, my 2-year-old is calling my 1-year-old a commie bitch. Thanks. Sorry about that.
Sorry. Right.
Well, they're learning about a time in our history that was very important.
Yeah. Kids say the darndest things.
They do. What did you just say, you little fella? Did you say the C word?
Yeah.
That's adorable.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in the entertainment report this morning. We have a major announcement coming up in about a half hour or so, somewhere around time that we get set for the Bizarre File. Maybe a little longer than that before we get to it, but close to 8 o'clock. We will have that.
Safe to say we've never done anything like this, right?
Yeah.
Close. Yes.
But
earlier on.
Yeah. So we'll get those details coming up a little bit later on this morning. Don't forget the Belly Flop competition. Our championships taking place at Valley Forge, the Valley Beach poolside. And we want you to get signed up. Our deadline for that is on Friday. And we are going to have the competition on Thursday, July 19th. So just a heads up on that. It's a free event to attend, but we need contestants. And you don't need to be big to do it. That's a big misconception. Just
no.
Gotta have style. You got to have a theme, and you got to show up and be a part of the party. So get on WMMR.com and sign up for that. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Hey, listen, I really enjoyed, while I was off looking at these wonderful pictures some of our cast members here on the Preston and Steve Show posted, these exotic locations like Ireland and Lake Tahoe and Casey down the shore, some beautiful pictures.
Montauk for Kathy.
Kathy was at the shore enjoying things as well. Wow, man, you guys really
had a
good
time.
What did you do? Oh, what did I do? Well, let me start by saying,
please, I want to hear every step of this story because we only have the general and I want to know every little bit.
I have a new look. You guys notice I shaved my beard.
Yeah.
Totally clean shaven.
It looks good.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
So,
you do look good, but I think you look better with the beard.
There's a reason that I shaved it. I'll tell you in a minute. But first, I did. So I posted, and listen, I asked for this. I posted pictures of me beardless on social media, and I asked people, you know, what do you think? Do you like the fresh face, or should I bring the fuzz back?
Nice.
The overwhelming majority, everybody's really nice and gave me suggestions and even some flattering things.
Sure.
But I highlighted the ones that were not so nice. And listen, I'm not angry at all. I think they're funny, actually.
Yeah.
One said, you have no lips, grow it back. Another one called me the chinless wonder.
Aww. That's not true.
Somebody says, this is my favorite, says, you look like a ball sack.
Okay. You look like a ball sack.
Yes.
Another one posted, my wife said, ew, when she saw it.
Who wouldn't feel good reading that?
And then the last one says, with a wig and glasses, you'd look like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Well, you listen.
I actually enjoyed those, so thank you. I asked for your opinion.
Prior to this, this has always been a commentary that you've had about yourself. When I said, what would you change about yourself? You don't like your chin line. I honestly think that little bit of beard also just looks cool. It looks a little badass.
I think it
gives you a nice
definition.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing more.
It's not an outlandish beard. It just gives you a little bit of accent.
And here's the deal. I'm not going for a new look. I'm growing it back as we speak.
It wasn't just to see what it would be like underneath.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's going to be about a month probably before it starts. So really, my facial hair grows very slow. I only shave like once a week.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. So here's the deal, and I'll explain why I shaved it off. So on the first day, that Friday, or that Wednesday.
So Wednesday.
Tuesday.
All right.
Yeah,
July 3rd.
July 3rd, we do our show, we get done.
Very excited. A couple of extended weekend off, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
I immediately dive into vacation mode. I went and played golf over at Sunnybrook Country Club. I shot a 76.
Whoa.
Yeah. Oh, I was killing it.
Wow.
I'm like, this is how you start a vacation. And my wife and I, we were going to have, on the 4th, we were going to have a bunch of neighbors over. So we went to Costco to load up on the grilling.
On the meats?
Yeah. So we go, we buy all this stuff. We're on our way home.
Yeah.
My wife goes, oh, no. And I'm like, what? Because I'm driving. She's looking at a text. She's like, I just got some news. I'm like, what? Apparently, my daughter's good friend, and this is, we don't blame anybody at all. Apparently, my daughter's good friend, they found out she had head lice.
Oh.
So, what is your level of exposure to said friend?
Stop it, everybody. She had spent the night.
Oh, no.
The weekend before.
Oh, my God.
Had you seen any signs?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. So,
and you have been fighting a virulent case of the crabs. So it's been really bad.
So my wife goes immediately to the pharmacy, buys all the necessary things you need to find out, gets the fine tooth comb and everything. We go through and sure enough.
Caroline has it.
Caroline has it. So now we got to literally go nitpicking. Through everybody's hair. We didn't find anything on me. We found some on Rochelle. So, but here's the good. Now, that is just, it just ruined the entire vacation. Day one.
So we
canceled the party.
Right. You can't have it over to the house. You can't go to anybody's house.
We got 50 pounds of meat in the fridge because I was going to grill.
Hey, where are the dogs?
Oh, my God. So now we have bratwurst and burgers and chicken and all this
cheese
and everything that comes with it, all the sides and everything.
You can't go to someone's house because you'd be infesting their house.
So we just said we're going to cancel the whole thing.
You have to isolate.
And then the thing that comes along with getting lice is it's not just treating your hair. Everything.
That's what I was going
to
ask you.
Everything in the house has to be washed. Clean. Some things have to be bagged up, put away. You have
to burn the house down.
You have to vacuum everything. You got to do all this stuff. And my wife goes, oh, by the way, I read that you can get lice in your beard. So I'm just like, well, I'm shaving that off. I'm not going to shave my head. I have a badly shaved head. I'm not going to do that. But the good thing. We have a question first.
Yeah. But what did you have to do? Like, obviously, the bed sheets, the pillowcases, all that. What else? What did you have to bag up? What else did you have to?
So, some things like stuffed animals, you know, toys that kids will sleep with, or some
comforters that don't machine wash well, just put them in a bag, leave them there for a couple weeks. They don't live off of the human body for very long. So anyhow.
So, okay, so they do not live off the human body for a couple of days.
A couple of weeks.
But a couple of weeks, but still, you can have the problem keep flaring up if you don't eliminate
it properly.
So you're giving the house the most exhaustive cleaning it's had in years.
Oh my God. Is anybody here itchy right now?
Yes.
I'm itchy as hell.
It's,
oh my God.
It's psychosomatic. You'll start to feel a little tingling things
in
your head.
I'm bald.
But here's the deal. What I did not know is that they now have lice clinics that you can go to.
Well, that's what I was going
to
ask you. So did you do it yourself or because I the picture?
Oh, no,
that,
we went to the clinic.
Yeah, yes, my name is Bing Bang and I'm an alcoholic.
The picture you sent, you were in the car.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we went to, there's a place in Doylestown. It's called
the Lyceterium.
Lice Clinics of America.
So there is, I saw pictures and I'm like, where the hell does this place exist? Where is it again?
Doylestown.
Doylestown.
There's
lovely
a couple of
lovely downtown
them.
Doylestown.
Are there?
Beautiful Bucks County.
Yeah.
Bucks County. Which Kathy will never go back to because we were just in there with
and
lice.
And you guys had lice, so I'm not going to visit for 10 days.
But they do this extensive treatment thing. They go through, they'd use the fine tooth combs. There are girls there that are
bend
trained.
Over, please.
Yeah, you got them in here.
But they're trained and they get it all out. And then they do this heat treatment thing to your head.
Kill them.
Which suffocates them and kills them, and then they put all this chemical oil stuff in
the
your
whole
hair.
Family.
Oh yeah,
whole
well,
family.
No, you know what? Parker didn't have any,
but I mean,
Carter's out of the country.
Good for Carter.
Totally right. Yeah. So just me and Shell and Caroline and I don't know. Parker's got hair down to his nipples.
How does he miss that? He's got a total full head of hair.
He never leaves his room. That's
there
how
you
he
go. Just never leaves.
In fact, he said, "See, Dad, see, I stay in my room all the time. That's how I didn't end up with it."
So, how much stuff did you have to throw away?
Not, you don't have to throw anything away.
I would want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Okay, all right.
I would move. I would have moved.
Well, like pillowcases and stuff like that,
you wash them.
You wash them and they're okay.
You wash them and then you high heat dry them.
Yeah,
and
I would imagine.
They're good.
Yeah,
right.
The dryer's going to take care of it.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to treat Parker just as a precaution?
No, he didn't have any.
So he didn't have to do
it. They gave him the check. Yeah. Now, the thing is that you would assume, obviously, that to your point, Kathy, I assume is your thing is I am, if there are loose lice around and they get in his hair, then it can cause an issue. But there's no prophylactic measure you can take to stop them from.
I don't think
you either get them and treat them, but you can't stop them from getting into your hair. Correct.
So they didn't find any live creatures.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Anywhere. There was no live louse.
It
was
just the poop.
No, just the nits.
Okay.
The eggs.
All right.
And so you want to get rid of those.
All right. Question for you.
Oh my God! They laid eggs in your head.
Two questions.
Oh God.
We've had it in our household before, years and years ago, when the boys were very little. It happened as well.
Are you like? Are there people that are more prone to get it? Because I never had it, not as a kid, not as an adult.
Not that I don't think so.
In junior high, we had a lice outbreak at the school, and it was just tearing through the school. How I avoided getting it, I don't know. But Kathy, it was horrible with the stuff and the things you get sent home with these sheets and. You know, your mother has to watch for this and blah, blah, blah. It was just, and it just tore through the school. Apparently lice, once they start spreading, are just like wild.
And apparently it has nothing to do with like, quote, being dirty. But of course, you think that's what you immediately think.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
The opposite of that I had heard. Like they don't like dirty hair. They like clean
hair.
They're
like, well, a balsam.
I have a couple of questions. Is crad lice like actually... Or is it something completely different? And
I assume they're
the
same family.
It's a version of lice, but it's different. They're a little bit bigger, and they like the pubic area.
They like dong.
Yeah, they like dong. They like vag.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Girls get them as well. But I did look up all that stuff: body lice, head lice, pubic lice, and things like that. There are varieties of. You're scratching your nuts while you're talking.
I'm very itchy right now. Very itchy.
I looked at you.
You're scratching your nuts.
It's very OCD.
But it just, you know, it just killed the vacation.
Yeah. Oh, my balls!
listen, it could have been worse. We could, like Shella said, hey, we could have taken a trip to Disney or something like that.
And found you had him there.
Found out while we were there, and then what do you do? Then you got to cancel going to whatever plans you had. Fortunately, we didn't really have any plans. We were just going to make it kind of a nice, easy, slow down, let's do what we want to do type of vacation. But it just... It killed it, man.
So how long before you before the treatment, the cleansing of the house, your treatment, how long before, how many days before that was over and you were able to at least salvage some of the vacation?
Oh, like yesterday.
Yesterday. Oh, you lost the whole time.
Yep.
So that just sucks.
What did you have to do after you went to the place in Doylestown? What did you have to do then? Just let it sit in your hair?
Yeah. And then when we got home, you wash it out, and it's good to go. And then they give you a preventative shampoo that you can use, too. But it's not cheap, man.
What's that called?
It ain't cheap. The preventative shampoo? I don't know.
Lysbegon.
No, there's like a...
Rid you can get at the that's what we used first.
Okay.
Rid is the old standard.
Immediately and like shocked ourselves with that stuff.
Yeah.
And then we went to the clinic. So we got like kind of double treated.
Is that effective, the Rid?
I mean, it works. I mean, but you've got to be.
It's a big joke.
You got to be.
We actually eat that stuff.
You got to be diligent with it, and you got to clean everything. That's the most important thing. Kathy would have no problem. Her house is so sanitary.
I would die.
No, it's. But anyway, and listen, I'm even hesitant to talk about it because immediately people start giving you crap. We went out to dinner with a bunch of friends night before last, and of course, it was the joke of the night.
Yeah.
You know that we had, and immediately everybody starts scratching themselves.
Well,
and
that's what I said. Like you immediately think, oh, dirty. You know?
You don't. But honestly. It's not. You're right. You mad? Oh, this person doesn't take care of themselves. That's why they have lice. It's not the case at all.
Steve, for us, the epidemic began and during baseball season because kids would share helmets.
Oh yeah,
and so
exactly.
So my mom ended up buying us, me and my brothers, our own helmets just because, like, when you were sharing when you were in fifth and sixth grade, that's how it spread. You know, it was awful.
So there are also ones that are resistant. To certain treatments.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I remember.
So how do you take care of those?
They're like super lice. I remember hearing about them years ago.
Yeah, I'm a lice too.
You're right. Look at the size of that thing.
I'm going to eat your car.
hang on. I've got a lot of people calling in. Let me go to Ben. Hi, Ben. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. You have my deepest sympathies, my friend.
Oh, thank you, sir.
My wife is a kindergarten teacher, and we go through this every year at least once, maybe twice.
So, Ben, you do the full house cleansing? Have you been to something like the Lice Center?
Yeah. Well, no, we don't go to the Lice Center. You know, we've picked up some tricks over the years and how to deal with this.
Yeah.
You know, the RID is works. It's a neurotoxin. You know, there are a lot of resistant lice. But the best way that I've found to get rid of them over the years is to use Vaseline, believe it or not.
Vaseline.
Yep. It smothers the buggers, and then the eggs, they kind of slide off a little bit.
Don't you slide around as you're walking on the floor?
Well, yeah, every now and then somebody's fallen because of this. Yes,
I believe it.
Well, so as a preventative, though, what we're hearing in all these cases is treating after the discovery of. Is there a way that you can prevent having them? No, nothing.
No,
wonderful.
So there's nothing really you can do about it. The good news is they don't spread any diseases. This is Professor Ben, by the way. I call in every now and then.
Ah, Professor Ben.
Mental stuff, so. Mm-hmm. You really can't do anything. They feed off of the dead skin that's flaking off your head.
Kathy's licking her lips.
Oh my God.
Yeah, really. And so it's not like you could take a medicine or something that they'll eat, you know, bite you and then they'll die
because,
well, there's nothing there. You know, but again, it's more of a nuisance disease than it is anything else. They don't spread any actual diseases there. You know,
it's just fun.
If people itch, you know, what
no,
you
it's just
do?
It's just the idea of an infestation. The
yes.
word,
yes.
The word infestation.
Well, like bed bugs, right? I mean,
those bite you.
But don't lice.
Those actually eat blood, and then, you know, they're like lice. Sorry, not lice. Fleas. You know, they're actually known to carry diseases as well.
Right.
So fleas were the primary carriers of the bubonic plague back in the Black Death and all that, back in the Middle Ages.
Yeah, you had that, Preston.
People do get that every now and then these days. But fortunately, lice carry absolutely no diseases whatsoever. It's just an annoyance more than anything else. And they're hard to get rid of.
Yeah,
clearly.
Right. Thank you, Professor Ben. We appreciate it, bud. All right.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
I'm going to go to Andrea because she works for the Lice Centers of America. Hi, Andrea. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
We're doing all right. You know,
yeah.
Scratching.
Well, I worked for Lice Clinics of America. I don't work for them anymore because I kind of had enough of the bugs.
Okay. But you were tired. You were tired of phantom scratching.
Yes.
So give us information. What can we learn about the longevity of your average? Is it lice? Is it singular and plural?
Louse.
Don't live off of the skin, off the body for more than 24 hours.
Okay.
So once they fall off, or once they lose their spot on their host, they have 24 hours to find a new head, or they're done.
Yeah, okay. They're like little mini Kiefer Sutherlands.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. She's
so the best thing to do is they actually sell at the Life Clinic place. They sell like it's a preventative spray. They hate peppermint and rosemary.
Start growing rosemary in my
Isn't
house.
That a 60s song?
No, it's incense and peppermints.
Incense and peppermints, and I start to die.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about the smell, but it just deters them, and we sprayed our heads with that every time we started a shift, because if for some reason we got the random lice that came on us, or for some reason we had the spray, it wouldn't latch onto us.
So, Andrea, as we were talking to Professor Ben just before you, and you would say if you were to have the peppermint smell, maybe even like a potpourri in your home, that might help deter them?
I don't know if it's something in that spray that they sell that's got the rosemary and the peppermint together. I'm not sure what else is in it, but I know that that's like the main ingredient.
Asbestos.
That's something. It's expensive, but it works.
All right. So, Andrea,
I worked there for a couple months, and I never had any problems with it. There was a girl that worked there for years, and she never got lice.
That was the question that I was going to have. So you guys didn't. So if you're careful.
Yeah,
it's all good.
Wear a hazmat suit; you'll be fine.
I would never.
Yeah, we wore scrubs and we put our hair up and sprayed ourselves when we started. And I mean that the one girl worked there for almost 2 years and she never had any issues with it at all.
It's such a funny thing, Preston, because it's not as you know. Obviously, as you're saying, it's not. They don't suck blood. They itch a little bit.
Yeah,
but the notion of you're infested with something will drive you crazy. So even after this point, you. What was the most difficult thing to clean in the house that you were instructed to clean? Were you all the bedding and everything?
Yeah. It's nothing difficult in the sense you got to really get in there and scrub and scour and all that stuff. It's just the amount of stuff. I mean, it's five people in our house, so we got to gather up all the laundry that was already sitting in the laundry room that needed to be done. Everything that we had done that was already folded and was on Rochelle's on the bed where the kid, and it was just the bedding is a pain in the ass.
Do dogs carry?
No.
Okay.
Dogs don't carry. And listen.
That's weird. Why?
Going on the internet.
Yeah. Oh, all these valid information.
Oh, what a joy. Oh, what a joy. Because, if you type in like head lice or body lice and then you pull up images, the first thing you see are horrible,
the worst,
over the top, worst case scenario infestations how disgusting it is.
I am fairly certain that my wife and I would be brought to the brink of divorce over something like this because this is her worst nightmare. And I am super lazy. So she would want to clean and disinfect every single ounce of the house. And I would be like, come on, like, we don't need.
Yeah, but my wife would be the same way.
Yeah.
But I mean, and you'd have to understand it because psychologically, the notion that you haven't been effective would just drive you crazy.
So Rochelle, she wants to jump on it immediately
and
just attack it head on. And here's me like,
can we just go swimming? They don't swim.
Can I play golf?
Never mind.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead, Kath.
Wait, does swimming help it, the chlorine?
No.
No, that wouldn't at all. You know what I recently saw, and I don't think it was lice. I think it was probably bed bugs, but it was like a white tarp that covered the entire house. And then there were signs in front of it that said the house was contaminated. And I think I guess they were treating it. My guess is for bed bugs.
Possibly. Yeah, right? they can bomb the house
It wasn't even like close the windows, we're going to bomb the house. It was literally a tarp that went over
the entire house. Yeah, if you watched Breaking Bad, remember they did that? That's where they started.
Yes, they bombed the house, they call it.
Yeah, so they worked for an operation that did infestations on homes, and they were able to cook their meth while they were in there because nobody knew what was going on in the covered home.
It's a good ploy.
But yeah, Kathy, that's not a lice situation.
No, I don't think that was lice, Dan.
Hang on a second. Let me go to Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Good. What's up, Jennifer?
So this happened when I was in college. I had left and went home for the weekend, and my roommate had her cousin over, and not thinking it was a big deal, I just let the cousin sleep in my bed. I didn't really care. So I go back on Monday, sleep for a couple days, discover I have lice. At that point, I had no idea where I had gotten the lice from. So I had warned my roommate to not infect her and to let her know so she wouldn't, you know, come in contact and help me disinfect the stuff. And then she says, oh, yeah, my cousin had lice.
Yeah, that's something you'd want to apprise people of ahead of time.
Yeah. I wouldn't have let her sleep in my bed.
But to like Nick's earlier point about if, you know, it can be something as benign as like a hat or a bandana or something that is just allows them to be ported from one area
to
another.
Clothing. Your clothing
will do it. It's not like syphilis where you have to have sex or something.
Dude, when I was back in the band, we had an outbreak of crabs that went through the band.
You've mentioned,
And Gary, our guitarist in this house, we were pretty sure it was from the couch, and it was just known as the crab couch.
The crab couch.
From there on out.
Will lice, you know, what's going on down there? I mean, well, there's hair.
Yeah.
So what keeps them from not migrating down to your pubes?
I don't know. It might have to do with those type of
curly hairs,
bugs or whatever. Well, it's warmer down there.
Yeah.
And there's a different environment.
It's a different environment. Yeah, it's all smelly.
You know, some people like to go to the mountains.
Some people like to go, equatorial.
Others go to the sea.
Yeah, it's Australia for them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, actually, your genitals or your body is kind of like New Zealand.
Yes.
You got a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
The belt is the equator.
Yeah. So, I don't know, but I think we're in the clear. We were very, very comprehensive. It's just the process you have to go through to get rid of them.
How much
sucks?
How much spent?
Between the
going to the clinic, all the cleaning, everything.
$1,000 probably.
Wow. Yeah. So you got to spend $1,000 for nothing on your other than just to kill lice on your vacation.
I don't know if it was $1,000. It was close to it, but it was $200 a person.
Okay.
At the clinic. Yeah. To get that done. Now there's a guarantee that comes with it in 30 days. I think if it comes back, then you go back and they retreat you and they'll take care of you.
So fun.
You do get that.
What happened to all the meat?
Oh, so the meat. Thank you, Nick.
He's worried about the food.
Your concerns are appreciated.
Wanted to go waste it.
With the friends that we had invited over were like, hey, do you want some meat for your grill? So we gave them a bunch. We gave them a care package. And they were going to bring, like, sides and stuff over to our house. So they brought over containers of those to us.
That's good.
So we swapped. Now, what we did was
what did
we
you charge them
over
it?
With pool cues to the house.
Seriously?
No, I didn't do that.
Is there any chance we can get it?
No.
Okay.
You're going to be okay. I know.
Right. No, she wants it.
I don't know. I don't want to go near them.
I don't think there's any way.
That'd be one of the best pranks you could pull on Kathy.
Stop it, what?
Would be just a, what's that in here? And could you imagine? Could you imagine what she'd do in her house? There would be no. You
I
remember
would
the movie?
Set
the
fire to it.
Exactly.
I didn't know what happened.
The Andromeda strain wouldn't be clean enough.
I'm going to go to Jeff. Hi, Jeff. Good morning.
Morning. How you doing?
Good. What's up, Jeff?
I'm driving. Well, I'm not driving behind him anymore, but I was sitting behind this guy in traffic on 73 and skip back, and he was scratching his head, and I think he was listening to you guys.
I think he was listening to the show. Or he's patient zero.
Dude, I live in Harleysville, which is right next to skip back, so he probably felt that was close enough.
He could have been one of your neighbors.
Have you ever had bed bugs?
No.
In your house?
Nah.
I understand those are the worst. That's what I hear. Because they cause rashes.
Yeah, you can wake up a little welts on you and stuff
and they're
that.
Hard to get rid of. That's the problem with them.
Bed bugs are very virulent, right?
Yeah, they're very difficult to get rid of.
Hang on a second. We have the president of the Lice Center.
We need an appropriate theme case.
It says Center of Lice Control. And so this is the Mr. President?
What a privilege.
No, this is Ed. How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good. So you're the president of Center of Lice Control? Is that what it is?
Center for Lice Control. We're based in Havertown.
Okay. And what do you want to share with us?
The CLC.
We've been doing this for a dozen years, and people basically, you know, they overreact more than they need to because it's not really a big deal if you do it the right way.
Yeah.
Bed bugs and fleas, 10 times, 1,000 times worse. Lice are contained to the head. Mm-hmm. They don't lay eggs anywhere but the head. So you don't have to take your whole house apart. You don't have to wash every piece of equipment. And if you do it the right way, it's very, very easy to follow up and get rid of these things once and for all.
Okay. So the problem if you basically, I was going to say cut off your head, but if you kept your head, if you keep your head clean and medicated, would you actually have to clean the house? Because if they die, within 24 hours of not getting access to your head? Would that take care of the problem?
Absolutely. Except we give people 3 days because people really do freak out about it. So we say they can live 3 days off their head. The reality is they probably do live between 24 and 36 hours.
All right.
If you really do just treat the head, we tell people the only things to clean in your house are your bedding, your brushes, and your towels.
Oh, yeah. We had to, we boiled our brushes, man.
Wow.
Yeah, we had a giant pot, though, not soup.
Not for 20 minutes. You can also put them in a bag in the freezer overnight.
Okay. No, we. I literally, Steve, we made a, wow. we had a brush and comb stew.
A little bit more salt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could have frozen them, too, is what the president is saying.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, I mean, we were very thorough because, you know, Ed, you don't want to have to deal with it again. So
well,
we did.
That's where people go wrong. So, you know, when you're being very thorough, first of all, you need to use the right things, because most of the traditional products don't work anymore because the bugs have actually adapted by developing a gene that filters out the chemicals that used to kill them.
Wow. Well, that is just sensational.
But the good news is that the new stuff that people have developed that we use really does suffocate and is good for you. Instead of being a chemical, it's more of a suffocation process than a kill everything.
Oh. Could you wrap your head in a dry cleaning bag and do that?
You could put tinfoil on it and call for people from aliens to come down and eat them off your head.
Right, right.
You might suffocate, Steve, if you do the bag.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's collateral damage.
Hey, so, Ed, real quick, a question that Steve had about things like, so why don't head lice go down to your genital area or your armpits or your, you know, things like that?
Excellent question. Not usually to beards either, by the way, except for in the most extreme cases.
You shave your beard off for nothing.
I was going to do it. Yeah.
So there's three types of lice that live on human bodies. There's head lice, humanus capitalis, that most people see.
The capitalists?
Body lice.
Go ahead.
And body lice and pubic lice are different creatures. Mm-hmm. So they're not made to go down there.
Mm-hmm.
Head lice really does stay on the head. It never transfers anywhere else on the body.
Okay.
Just interesting that you're so close. I think just even for a long weekend, you may want to go down to the armpit to see what's happening down there. But you say they stay on the head? Have no
they
desire.
Stay only on the head.
All right.
Right. The thing with head lice also is most people have it 4 or 5 weeks before they really notice it because they're so slow.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah.
So slow. That's why people share it. And that's why people that really worry about people with kids and stuff should just do a combing head check every couple of weeks.
Okay.
They just stay ahead of it. One kid has and not the entire family.
It's been 15, 16 years since I've had to check a comb.
Well, listen, we always we check for ticks because our kids are out running at this time of year.
Sure. And you live in an area that's inundated with them.
We got ticks. We got lice. Come on over, man.
We got lots of meat. You're just a big lab experiment over there in Harleysville.
If you're checking for ticks, you can do a quick glance as well for, you know,
right,
eggs.
You want to be careful because when you pull a tick out, if you just kill it and pull it out, it leaves its poison inside.
Right.
But if you use a nit comb, the same comb you would use to check a head, you can actually lift the tick out.
I actually have a device that I bought, and it actually looks kind of like a little prong, and you use it, and you basically twist the tick out gingerly, and you remove the head and everything, which is obviously...
That's what you want to do.
Yeah, get the head out.
Interesting.
Yes.
Well, listen, Ed, I'm glad that I had no idea that there were lice clinics and that they will, they'll bomb you, man. They'll get it. I mean, you don't have to, doing it on your own is a pain in the ass. So.
But we'll help you. No bombing, no chemicals, just nice and safe and good information.
All right. Cool. All right. Well, thank you.
God bless you, sir.
El Presidente. Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it. All right. So that's why I shaved my beard off.
Okay.
That's the story of why Preston shaved his beard.
That's why I shaved my beard off. My sweetest wife.
Yeah.
I've been scratching my nuts and my chin for better than a month now, and I realize I have lice. I won't be returning home to you. I plan to fire a musket ball through my head.
That should take care of the problem, I guess. But anyway, listen, so we're free and clear. And it was just, listen, a lot of people have dealt with this issue. So I know I'm speaking, you know, to two people.
You're not asking to be called a hero.
No, it was, God, dude, first day of the vacation, we find out.
So a lot of movies, a lot of hanging inside.
That's it. What we did. And but listen, and the family who had, you know, their daughter come over, and that's how we got it. They were so apologetic.
It's not their fault.
And that's what I said. Look, it's not your fault. It's nobody's fault. Don't beat yourself up about it.
You were nicer than I would have been. Because Preston texted
us.
He texted us over the weekend and said, this is what we're going through. And I said, did you let Caroline know that she can't be friends with her anymore?
Exactly. With that dirty girl.
All right. Anyhow, that's the story. We need to take a break. When we come back, we have a big, big announcement. Oof. This is a bold thing that we got underway there, and you can be a part of this, and we'll get you the details when we return. Stay with us. We'll come back in just a moment.
Slayer!
MMR. Everything that rocks, even a little thrash metal. Get ready for Slayer, July 31st at the Pavilion at Montage Mountain in Scranton.
Bring it on!
MMR has an exclusive, rare opportunity for you to meet the band. You get a hotel room for the night, and you get VIP parking and free water park passes, and you get pit passes for the show, a signed Slayer guitar, and you meet the band. Here's how to enter.
Post a video doing your best.
Slayer!
To Twitter or Instagram. Use hashtag WMMR Slayer Contest. Here's the catch. You gotta do it in a very unSlayer-like location. And don't piss off your neighbors or the police.
Entry deadline Thursday, July 12th. Complete details at WMMR.com. Tickets are on sale now via LiveNation.com. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Thank you, Kathy. We are going to do the Bizarre File, and then we have a major, major Preston and Steve announcement that we are going to get to immediately after that. So let's get right into this. Here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, pulled some stories from the past few days that I'm going to present to you in the form of the Bizarre File. And this morning,
yes,
the Bizarre File is brought to you by Scruples Gentlemen's Club. Looking to party with the hottest girls in Bucks County? Then come to party with the ladies of Scruples Gentlemen's Club. Enjoy happy hour specials and visit GodScruples.com for more information. You like how I bought some time there?
Yeah, well, what do you mean? It's effortless and seamless.
All right, so how about this, man? A 92-year-old Arizona woman was charged with her son's murder after she allegedly shot him for trying to move her to an assisted living facility.
My mom would do that.
Wow.
Gum Gum doesn't like that.
Gum Gum did not.
Gum Gum is not a fan of that idea, you bastard.
Anna Mae Blessing allegedly shot her 72-year-old son in the neck and face on Tuesday.
Grandmom.
After contemplating, quote, for several days, her son's intentions to place her in an assisted living facility.
Oh, it'll be great. You have a little exercise wheel you can run on and a big thing of water you can suck on anytime you want.
No. So Blessing allegedly had two pistols, which she had owned since the 1970s, in pockets of her robe before she confronted her son in his bedroom.
I bought these when I was in the Black Panthers.
She...
oh.
She allegedly... told police that she removed a handgun and shot her son. She shot him multiple times. His girlfriend, who was in the room, struggled with Blessing over the weapon until the elderly woman dropped it.
I don't think she wants to go.
Blessing allegedly took out the second handgun and aimed it at the son's girlfriend, but the younger woman managed to knock it out of her hand. When police arrived, they found Blessing sitting in her recliner. And the arrested...
NASCAR's on.
The arresting officer said, as the suspect was being escorted from the residence, she made a spontaneous statement to the effect of, "You took my life, so I'm taking yours."
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It was stated in court documents, by the way. So Blessing told police that she planned to kill herself, but she no longer had a gun to do
I'm out of bullets.
After wrestling with her son's girlfriend. The suspect was asked that what she thinks should happen to her, which she replied she should just be, quote, put to sleep as a result of her actions.
Life is not good for her.
She told authorities her son wanted her to leave because she had become difficult to live with.
No, I don't see that.
She's been charged with one count of murder in the first degree. Wow.
I mean, if she's 92, he's got to be...
Well, I said he was 72.
Oh, he's 72.
He's 72 years old.
You're missing the bigger point.
Yeah.
She could get life in prison.
Yeah. All right, this is great, and it happened like the day we went on vacation, but Mark Hoff of Altadena, California, filmed a precocious bear who got in the swing of the summer season by climbing over his fence and then took a relaxing dip in his hot tub.
It's hilarious footage because the bear's sitting up.
And he took a drink of the margarita that was nearby as well.
Oh, my God.
The rogue bear enjoyed his...
and tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ebony. This is perfect.
So
the only thing missing are spawning salmon.
The rogue bear enjoyed his soak last Friday. Hoff was lounging when he noticed the unexpected visitor at his home.
Did he have any bossa nova on the Sonos?
Near the Angels. Yeah. There you go.
Nice.
Angeles National Forest.
Junk.
He remained calm and pulled out his phone to record it all. The bear, a strong...
Yellow.
A strong...
Yeah, I'm over here. Come on over.
A strong contender for your summer icon did everything right
bathing
in his soap.
Bathing suit optional.
He submerged his whole head and then shook off the water and lapped up some of Hoff's margarita that was sitting nearby.
You would have to imagine that would be... Well, listen, humans love it. Why is a bear not going to love it?
Eventually, the bear took a nap under a shady tree nearby as well. Hoff said he was playing, having a grand old time, so he had his margarita, he had his jacuzzi, and then he was
Leaders
ready.
Leaders off to iFly.
He was ready for an hour-long nap, which he took. Wow.
That's a good day for a bear.
Yeah. I just think of that Bugs Bunny scene where he's, you know, stepping into the cauldron. He's like, yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
All right, so I have two stories that kind of tie together. You can kill the dopamine panino. Thank you. A daredevil who posted Instagram photos of himself scaling risky heights died after falling from a West Village building in New York. The body of Jackson Coe, 25 years old, was discovered in the backyard of a six-story building Thursday bearing injuries consistent with a fall. He had been drinking with a friend beforehand, law enforcement sources said, and there was a beer can next to him. A building neighbor said that they thought he was just drunk. They had called an ambulance. One photo Coe had posted to his Instagram in April shows him dangling his legs off the side of a very tall building in Manhattan. His mom had commented on that picture, "What the hell are you doing?" And he replied, "Ha, ha, ha, just on a roof." Another risky snap last year was taken from the edge of a mountain in Banff, Alberta. Others show Coe and his friends backflipping into the ocean off of cliffs and boats. And following his death, a friend posted a photo on Instagram of the pair drinking shirtless on the roof of Williamsburg's William Vale Hotel. So this is a type of thing that he liked to do.
Yeah, and it eventually killed him. You've seen that. There was that couple, Preston, that where the guy would hold on to the woman and dangle her off the side. She had... complete trust.
Yeah. Well, listen to this. Also, three young YouTube stars have died at a waterfall in Canada. Police say Riker Gamble, Alexi Lyak, and Megan Scrapper were swimming at the top of Shannon Falls in British Columbia on Tuesday. They slipped and fell into a pool 30 meters below.
Oh, man.
So that's nearly 100 feet.
Yeah.
The trio belonged to what was called High on Life, an extreme travel channel. And they posted videos from remote locations and preached a philosophy of living in the moment. The group has over 1 million Instagram followers, 500,000 YouTube subscribers, and the other members on Friday posted a tribute to them. They also read a mission statement that Gamble and Lyak had written for the group, which included many nods to ideas of self-realization, saying, accept the fact that everything that makes up your world is there because you attracted it with your own thoughts. Realize that you can control your thoughts and emotions. So they were very... you know,
positive, they took a big risk, and there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes you lose. Sometimes there's a bear in your sauna.
According to the Vancouver Sun, Scraper had slipped and fell into one of the lower pools over 30 meters below. Lyak and Gamble attempted to save her, but they were swept in the pool system below as well. It's unclear whether the trio were filming there.
Yeah, you hit water. From 90-100 feet up, it's like hitting concrete.
Yeah. High on Life has recorded a number of videos and daredevil activities in exotic and hard-to-reach locations such as waterfalls and cliffs in the past. Last year, Gamble, Lyak, and Justin Price Brown, another member of the collective, were banned from U.S. federal land for 5 years after pleading guilty to walking on a sensitive hot spring in Yellowstone National Park.
Oh, man.
And other crimes at parks across the western U.S.
The clock was ticking on these guys then.
Yeah, so the number of deaths linked to YouTube daredevils has been rising.
We've talked about that walking around those hot springs and people falling in and then essentially getting boiled to death instantly.
It's dumb. You're told not to do it. You're not supposed to do it, and there's a reason behind that. So, anyhow, that is what I have in the bizarre file for you. So, you ready for a big announcement?
Yeah. It's a big one.
Yeah, this one is a biggie. And what's great is that you can be a part of this.
Yes.
And I'm going to give you some of the details. A drum roll, please, Casey. This is going to be taking place a little bit later in the year, but we're excited to say that the Preston and Steve show, for live broadcasting purposes, is headed to London. Woo! Yes! Woo! And not only that, we will be there for a big event that is going to be taking place as well.
By the way, that is London, England.
London. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's not London, Ohio.
No.
It's the actual London, England that you've seen on many films and travelogues.
London, England. And ladies and gentlemen, it is a part of the Miller Lite London Calling event with Green Legion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we and Miller Lite and the Green Legion want to send someone on a trip to London with the Preston and Steve show for the Eagles-Jaguars game this October.
How nice. Freaking insane yes. is that? That this is all coming together.
We will actually be broadcasting live from London for 2 days. We'll be broadcasting on a Friday and a Monday.
I got my Rosetta Stone, so I'm learning the language.
Very good. You might want to brush up prepared. On that, Steve.
Yeah.
So we will broadcast on a Friday. The game is on a Sunday, and then we will broadcast again on Monday, and then we're going to have to take a travel day off, I believe, when yep. we come back. But we have just gotten the details together on this, and this is a great way for Casey and Marissa to be able to go to a football game in London. That's the real reason behind
it's what
all
it's
of
all
it.
About, and Preston, you and I for a shot to meet Meghan Markle.
Yeah.
That was part of the deal.
That's yes. part of the deal as well. So we would like to welcome to our studio the man behind a lot of amazing events that take place traveling out to see the Eagles. And we're going to give you more details and more of the trips that are available. This is our friend from Green Legion. It's Quimby who Yay. Is in the studio.
Am I supposed to talk now? Because I'm over here scratching myself. Yeah.
You got lice, my friend. See? That's what it's all about.
See, I knew it. Yeah. Busting my balls already. Well, listen, he brought with him a couple of beautiful ladies from Green Legion. We have Angelica and Connie, who are on our hot today. So,
and they showed up.
Something wonderful to see as well. But listen, you guys, listen, you do trips for every away game, correct?
Everything except the Swamp.
Except the Swamp?
Yeah.
Okay. But
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, the Giants.
Oh,
you don't go up there.
Nah, it before the end of the day, it's just too expensive to have to deal with that.
And right. No, and it's referred to, it's a stench hole and it's a swamp. And that's what it's built on. And you don't need to visit that.
All right, yeah. So this will be the most adventurous trip taken, I would imagine, right?
It's been the most adventurous to put together.
I can imagine, man.
It's
What's the date of the game, by the way?
It's October 28th.
Okay.
October 28th.
All right, so right before Halloween.
It's yes.
Be that time of year. But you guys have packages that people can buy into to go to this. But we also have an opportunity for somebody to win a trip along with us.
Absolutely.
And there's some cool events that are going on around that. You want me to share the details or...
Whatever you want.
I'll get to that, and then we can talk to you about what people expect from events when they go with Green Legion. So... the trip that we're going to be giving away includes airfare aboard the Green Legion Charter, hotel transportation in London, Saturday pep rally with alumni players there.
Wow.
Tickets to the game October 28th at Wembley Stadium, thank you very much, and a tailgate before the game as well. So you can register to win. This is how this is going to work. You can register to win at a series of upcoming MMR and Miller Lite promotional events that are going to be taking place. So we're going to have people out appearing at different places.
Yeah, yeah.
You come out and you get yourself signed up to win.
Yes.
And one finalist will be chosen at each event. And sometimes there'll be prizes that you can win at these locations too.
Yeah, they usually are.
So a finalist will be chosen. And from all these events, we will draw one winner. So if you win as a finalist at these events, your name basically goes into a hat. And then when all the events are done, we pull one winner out, and that person is going to London.
I love this because if you make the little bit of extra effort to get out to one of the events,
yes,
you are, you know, you're not competing against the voluminous amount of everyone who listens to the show. You're showing that you really want to go by going, and then you whittle down, you know, the odds of competing against a large group of people. You're going to be one of those people.
Yeah. So there are, I believe, 12 Miller Lite events in total.
Okay, 12.
Yes, six of which Marissa Magnata will be hosting.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so in each one of those events, somebody will get qualified. All of the events that Marissa hosts, you'll not only get qualified, but I believe you'll also win tickets to another Eagles home game. And then we will announce the winner for this trip, I believe, right after Labor Day. The Eagles open up their season September 6th at home at the Link against the Falcons. And I believe we're going to try and sync it up with that game as
That's
well.
That's cool. So this is the kind of experiential thing we talk about where this is just an amazing thing, especially to see it in England.
I have done two.
Where the game was invented.
Yes. Well, they do call it football over
there.
Yeah,
they do. They just are wrong.
I did two trips with the Green Legion, both of which were actually out in San Francisco. And I got to tell you, it's more than just, you know, flying out to a different city and going to a game over there. The way Quimby works it and he gets these deals, I mean, he closes down bars just for Eagles fans, just for Green Legion fans, you know, we did wine country stuff. These guys at the Green Legion, they do it right.
So before I'm going to reiterate all the information about how
it's
you
a lot to absorb.
Be a part of this in a little bit, but how long have you been doing it, Quimby?
15 years this
year. No kidding, man.
Yep.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, Tim Graham was on the first trip.
Salesman extraordinary. In fact, Preston, you vomited in his,
You vomited outside in his parking
lot.
Trash bag.
That was at the parking garage.
That might have been around the same time the Green Legion started.
Yeah, maybe. But anyway, as Casey said, when you buy into a trip with you guys, is it kind of different each time, or is it the same every time, or how does it work?
There's the same foundation, but we try to change it up and give a different feel each time around, especially going to a city that we haven't been to before.
You know, it's wild because the amount of people that are going to this game that are just going to go is large. Once we started to kind of float it out here that this might be a possibility, it's a big thing. And so the idea of traveling to these away games is huge for so many people. What Casey says is that you guys do it right with all the peripheral stuff as well. It's an experience. You don't just get tickets thrown at you. You get an event.
And you make it easy for people to just buy the package and go, and you pretty much take care of the planning for them.
Go online, sign up.
Yeah.
Let us do the rest.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes it takes us a little bit longer because we have to filter through a tremendous amount of people. We have 1,200 on this trip already.
Wow.
And we're not even in the middle of July.
Yeah, and you still have spots available?
We do. We have spots available that we must our airfare spots are available till the 21st of July.
Okay.
After that, we have to return all of our unused flights. But
all right, so I have a question on the flight. Is it just the Green Legion people on?
No, but we do have all the group
that could be
flight
dangerous
availability. there's a few American flights and United flights. We've had this before, trust me. On the way over to the Super Bowl, with a charter plane.
Yeah.
And keeping in mind, the packages are a little bit more expensive for the Super Bowl, so it was an older clientele.
Right.
You got people excited that you're going to the bowl. You got people that their bladder probably doesn't work as well as it used to.
And a
flight staff that's trying to get you meals and two rounds of drinks in 2 hours and 20 minutes. Oof.
Yeah. But you did it. And look, barely. We won. So there you go. It all worked out.
So, but not only London, and obviously as an Eagles fan, I was looking at this game. I was waiting for them to announce the schedule, so I knew when they were going to play because, I definitely wanted to make an attempt to get to this game, regardless if we were going to go as a show or not.
Oh, then you found a way to do it for free.
Exactly. So well, yeah. Hey, yes.
Wait, who,
free?
What's that word?
What's that?
What?
Yeah.
We're doing the live broadcast.
Broadcast, but you have other really really cool cities that you guys are doing your trips to.
Well, Tampa, Nashville, New Orleans, just a rich schedule. Back to L.A. again.
In December.
You can't ask for anything better there.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Nice. It's this. it couldn't have played out any better, winning the Super Bowl and then walking into this schedule.
It's funny, though, because even regardless, when the Super Bowl was not in the description, Super Bowl winners, you still, people just love the experience, the communal experience of going along with these things. And then your reputation and the stock in what you guys do has risen dramatically. So this is a perfect confluence of events. And again, so, and if people themselves want to look into getting getting over there for this, besides trying to win, obviously, with us, how do they go about it?
Just go to greenlegion.com.
Okay.
If you want the direct link for trips, it's trips.greenlegion.com. Excuse me. Or you can call the office and bother Connie at 215-666-5940.
Now, there's another thing that we're going to do in conjunction with Green Legion, and this is tomorrow. We're going to give this away, because not just games, but a really cool event. Brian Dawkins is being inducted into the Hall of Fame, and wow, Green Legion has a trip that you guys have planned to go for that event, and you're giving one to us that we can give away.
Have at it.
And we're going to do this tomorrow morning, so it's going to be Friday, August 3rd. So you get transportation from Philly to Cleveland on Friday, August 3rd. You get two nights hotel, transportation from your hotel to Canton. And then you need to get admission to the Hall of Fame prior to the tailgate. Or there's a tailgate party. So, and that's brisket. I've got the full menu here if you want.
Yeah.
Brisket, pulled pork, chicken, all the sides, domestic beer, water and soda, and tickets for the induction ceremony as well. So we're going to give that away tomorrow, and people can buy into that as well, right?
Absolutely.
Excellent, man. Well, you guys really have it all covered here.
In England, is it boot gating or tailgating? Or
ooh, that's a good question.
Right?
It's a nightmare is
it's
what
a nightmare.
It is.
It's a nightmare.
We'll just leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that. That's okay.
You'll need your passport.
Yes.
Keep that in mind, things like that.
We are going to offer passport services, some consulting for people that don't have it.
And okay, it's not as involved, but you need to get on it now if you're planning on doing
you
it.
Really
and
do.
And you, in some cases, you're allowed to draw your own. They're not legal, but no, good.
I can whip one up for you.
You can. So you guys are completely full service. That's terrific.
Yeah. Trying as much as we can.
Wow, man, this is great. So once again, if you just tuned in, we're going to be broadcasting live from London, and it will be on...
meanwhile, in London.
The game is October 28th. We are going to be headed there a couple of days ahead of time because we're going to be broadcasting live on that Friday.
Yes.
And we're also going to broadcast on the Monday afterwards, and we're going to be just bringing you a little bit of London, you know?
So this is a clarion call to anybody who listens to the show who lives over there. We know there are a lot of people that do. There'll be a lot of people going over with the Green Legion as well to look for us and be a part of everything that's going on over there.
Yeah, so if you need the information and you can get the travel times and dates and all that stuff through your website?
Correct.
All right, and what I don't have it written down here again. What is it again?
The date is October 28th.
No, I mean the contact info.
Contact
website.
Info, greenlegion.com.
All right.
And 215-666-5940.
Yeah, try that number or try PrestonandSteve.com because Quimby, apparently we just crashed your website.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But the link is up on PrestonandSteve.com and all the information that you need is there.
And once again, it's the Miller Lite London Calling with Green Legion and the Preston and Steve Show, and it's from Miller Lite. Great taste and only 96 calories. So we've got a lot of planning to do.
We got some time,
which is great. But if you want to buy into this, go ahead and do that now. If you want your chance, if you can't afford it for some reason, but you really want to do this, stay tuned for the details on our appearances, when and where they are, and your chance to win. I had a couple people text in and ask, if you don't win in one location, can you go to another one? Absolutely.
Yes.
That's why we're having 12 of them.
We want you to be active. We want this to go to someone who's ready to do the work.
Yeah.
The footwork.
Yep, absolutely. So it's exciting stuff. So, Quimby, thank you, man.
Thank you, guys. Honestly, we're excited, as you can't believe, to
cool.
have you.
Excellent.
Yes. And Angelica and Connie.
Yeah.
Our hottie cam this morning as well from Greenleaf. So, yep, we're headed to England, and we have the details posted at PrestonandSteve.com. If you want to get those now, you certainly can do that. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in just a moment. Stay with us, and don't forget tomorrow that Brian Dawkins trip for the Hall of Fame. We'll give that away tomorrow. We'll have details on that tomorrow morning. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
See there. Chris Stapleton. Five Finger Death Punch.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. After that wonderful story about me and my family getting lice on vacation, I'd like to bitch about something else.
We were wondering whether we should follow a lice session with the bitching session, and then we do two things focused in on Preston. However, I think this is valid. I think this is legitimate that we move into this territory.
I'm going to have you guys help me make a list, because I think this will help our fellow humans out and our future generations a little bit. So there are wonderful things that you can teach the young as their minds grow, and things that are big, like respect for your fellow human beings.
Yes.
Being polite and courteous. You know, things along those lines. And those are big lessons, you know, valuing someone else's time, blah, blah, blah. But there are little things. There are tiny things that I think tiny bits of etiquette that if we institute these to our kids while they're young, I think all of humankind will be better for it. So with that said, no, these are little things, and I'll explain.
Okay. These are the kind of things that you might get, if I may assist here, is they used to have what they would call finishing schools, where you would learn etiquette and basic civility. So this is going to enter into that realm.
Yeah, so after I explain, then I'll ask you to add items to the list. So I took my family to see Ant-Man and Wasp, okay? Ant-Man and Wasp. My daughter loves Ant-Man, favorite superhero, so I was really excited.
Isn't it funny? You're going to go see a movie about Ant-Man and you're crawling with lice.
Oh, shut up. So it's me, my wife, my daughter Caroline, and my son Parker. My other son is away right now. So there's four of us all together. And I wanted to get a screening time that would make sense for us in the course of the day. And the one that made the most sense is the IMAX 3D at the UA King of Prussia. Now, do you know how much money it costs to take your entire family to the IMAX 3D show?
Without concessions.
Without concessions.
Is it $16 a ticket?
No, it's more than that. I ordered this through Fandango.
Okay.
Because they also have it's like a convenience fee that you pay or whatever. All said, it was, I want to say it's like $85.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like $20 a piece. Okay, so I pay for all this. So it's like 80 some odd dollars to go to this movie theater. I'm like, listen, I'm telling myself, you get to see it in the best possible way. You get the
optimum
sound, you get the great conditions. It's wonderful, blah, blah, blah. So we go to the theater, and movie's about to start. I mean, it's already beginning, and this couple came in right at the previews are beginning. So they're late, and they come and they sit down. She talked during most of the movie. Okay.
To who?
So her muscle headed guy that she was with. Okay. This dude, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Big muscle dude. Not only were they talking, she kept whipping out her phone.
Stop it.
Did not dim the brightness of the screen at all. At one point, she took a phone call during the movie.
Oh, my God.
And it's not like what they were talking about were little plot points in the movie or a quick whisper of, you know, this and that. Full-on conversation.
So were they, but they weren't talking about the movie?
Not that I could tell. Why are you here? Why are you here? Now, I'm guessing they came from dinner and they had a couple cocktails and they were a little loosened up or something like that. But why are you here and why are you talking to each other about whatever you're talking about? Because it doesn't have anything to do with the movie, because it was in very important plot points that you need to know to forward the story along. It's not like they were just trying to, you know, say how much they know about Marvel movies and trying to impress people with the things that they say about the characters.
It's because
we know people like that.
They don't care.
I don't.
They don't care about the movie, and they don't care about the people surrounding them.
So I'm ready to say, I spent $85 to bring my family here tonight to see this movie, and you're ruining it. My daughter, if she has anything to say to me, I've trained my kids well. It's a lean over, hand over your mouth, and whisper into your ear. That's it. And even that pisses me off because I'm trying to see the movie. And so they were talking, taking phone calls, texting. You know who said something? I didn't say anything because I'm with my family and I don't want to start a scene. You know who said something?
Who?
My son did.
Did he really?
He was sitting next to her. And by the way, if you were at the Friday night screening, 7 o'clock at the UA King of Prussia, sitting in the last row in the last two seats to the right, You're the a-holes I'm talking about.
So you were so back against the wall?
Yeah, we were at the very, very rear. We like sitting in the back.
So do I.
Well, those are great seats for IMAX.
So we're in the very back. We're at the very right side, and they had the last two seats before, you know, the walkway to get out. And so my son eventually says, I didn't know. He didn't tell me to the end of the movie because finally, about halfway through the movie, they shut up. And what my son said to them, he said, can you please stop talking? He said it very politely, and the girl said, okay. And then they went on and kept talking for a while. And eventually they shut up.
Oh, what a bitch.
But this is what I want to add to my list of etiquette. Don't talk during a movie. Mm. It's very simple. Just add this to the list of things that you teach your children. Don't talk during a movie. And you know why it's pissing me off so much? It's because the last movie I went to go see was Deadpool 2, and the same thing. Girl would not shut up during the movie. The entire movie. And it was driving me crazy.
It's all I can do from having a full-blown aneurysm as you're describing this. Because, you know, for how long was it the standing threat that if you came to a Preston and Steve screening and you talked, I would punch you in the throat?
Yeah.
It drives me out of my mind. I have gone and I've demanded money from people to pay for my ticket because they've ruined the movie. You would just imagine it's common courtesy. You would just imagine that people would be spatially aware of people right within listening distance, but they do this time and time again. And it's really why, for me, unless it's one of our screenings, a lot of times I'll wait to see it at home. Over the weekend, Preston, I watched a Quiet Place.
Yeah.
Yes. I knew if I went to a theater and I was watching this movie that is so based on sound and I heard anything, I would have gone out of. So rather than save myself a full blown major heart attack, I watched it at home.
I love going to the movie theater. I like the whole atmosphere.
So do
about
I.
It. I like the big room. I like the concessions. I like the watching the trailers. Like when the lights come down, it's a great way to watch. But Steve, Friday night, I said to myself, I'm not going to the movies anymore.
Yeah.
This has pissed me off so much. What a waste of money. And now I need to go back and see it again because there are a couple of plot points that I missed out on because not only was I listening to them, then I started getting fixated on it.
And you become furious. That's all you can think about because you want. Now, at any point, let me ask you, did you consider going out to tell anybody at the theater?
Does that do any good?
I don't know if it does any good anymore. I don't even know if you can find people anymore to do that. There used to be years ago
ushers
that would walk up and down occasionally throughout the movies. You could say, you know, this douchebag here is, you know, making noise or whatever.
Yeah, you're getting. What are you going to go chase down some 16-year-old kid to go tell some muscle bound dude?
Yeah,
that either A, quiet down, or B, you're out. I don't know what the repercussions are.
Get out of here.
Exactly.
Dude was big, too.
Yeah.
I was like, ugh.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So we went and saw it before we went away for 4th of July. And, Steve, my kids have sat next to you in the past, and I have said to warn them ahead of time, do not talk. You know, and not only that, but, like, I've learned my lesson. Go to the bathroom before the movie so we don't have to get up in the middle of the movie and disrupt people and – you know, so right as the movie is about to start, my son starts, I don't know, joking or something like that. And then he and my daughter start laughing. I leaned over because my brother was there, too. I leaned over and I go, psst. And they look over. I go, shut up.
Not like,
hey, guys, be cool. No.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Shut
up.
Your mouth.
Yeah.
Shut it.
Yes.
Shut your mouth. Shut it. But that's a simple, you'd think it would be axiomatic. You think you would know.
Yeah, why is it so hard?
But it is, but people do not, and you're trying to impart very valid, listen,
we've all
this is etiquette, everyone has spent money, but we now live in a world where a lot of times people are watching at home, they're watching TV with their phones, and they're talking throughout. It's the same thing at home. When I put on a movie, I shut the F up at home. Yeah. I want to experience the movie for what it is.
Yep.
And so this is a common little bit of courtesy.
Yep.
Try to pay it forward today. Heed Preston's advice. If you go out to a theater, realize that people around you have spent money, as have you, I know. You've decided to waste your money.
go out to the parking lot, take a $20 bill, set it on fire, and talk to your friend all you want.
Yes!
Why? You don't have to worry. Well, it's, to me, it's the same thing if you get, like, you're going to go see a Dave Matthews concert, as the legend goes, and I've never been. You want to see this great performer, this great musician. You want to have a good time. You get so bombed that you sit there vomiting in your seat. You miss the show. Yeah. What's the purpose?
Yeah.
What's the purpose? You're just wasting money. Yeah.
Well, I want to call somebody out because after the movie on Monday that we went and saw, I had heard from another WMMR listener that Craig Ligons was talking the entire movie. And that... He does that all the time.
Craig knows not to do it around me.
Yeah.
I love Craig. We all love Craig to death. But you shut your hole.
But and you had mentioned something earlier, Steve, that, you know, I think for Craig, he's just such a comic book fan.
He's just exploding with comic book energy. I got it.
That he's energetic. He's happy about it. He wants people to know that he knows things,
yeah.
You know, hey. That he has. But he's singing along and he's dancing in a seat. And, you know, and Craig... It's not about you. For these 2 hours,
yeah.
It's about what's on the screen.
It's about the theater experience.
Take a little notepad.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Jot down some notes, uh-huh. Little plot points you want to mention to people later on, and talk about it after the movie's over. All right, now here's another thing. I want to add to our list because I'm getting some calls of other things like right. That are this simple that we need to impart to our youth so that future generations don't have aneurysms. Driving home from the airport, I dropped off my wife and daughter yesterday, and sure enough, here's a simple one, and we've talked about this on many occasions. Left-hand lane, people want to pass, guy won't get out of the way. It's clearly obvious because there's five cars tailgating each other right behind you, and if you would move over, everybody could get by. And that's another, and I'm going to put that on the list of left lane is for passing.
Left lane is for passing. And by the way, in New Jersey, you can receive a ticket if you don't follow that. Though I've never seen it enforced.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is, yes, that is a common courtesy. Someone wants to get around you, move over to the slow lane and let them pass.
So I'd like to continue a list, and you can feel free to text these in as well. Here's Wesley, who has one. Hi, Wesley. Good morning.
Good morning, Preston. How are you?
Good. What's up, Wesley?
My wife and I were at the Foo Fighters concert Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
We're out on the lawn. We're having a blast. Happy 50th anniversary, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Man.
Preston and I have been married for 50 years.
And as soon as it starts to get dark, there's four couples in front of us. And now these aren't young people. These couples are in their late 40s, early 50s, that I felt like I was in a photographer's studio. They took so many selfies. It was like they were trying to establish an alibi.
Let me ask you something, Wesley. Let me ask this to the general public. All right. How many of those pictures do you ever go back and look at? How many?
I delete them.
How many pictures? Because the same thing. We were at the Hoagie Nation concert, and there were people. There were not only Hall & Oates on stage performing, and there's fireworks going on. Everyone was with their backs to all the action. It's like you are missing this to see it on a small screen to get that picture you're never going to look at.
Right.
You're losing moments of your life. Listen, I don't go back and look at 90% of my pictures.
Yeah, concert etiquette has really gotten worse. And
especially with people's iPads, Nick.
The phones and the iPads, yeah. And talking, you know, at concerts is bad as well. And like Preston, like the people talking at a normal volume, just like they were talking next to you at the movie the other night. If I'm at a show,
yeah,
I want to hear what Dave Grohl has to say up on stage. I don't really care about the babysitter that you're right. talking about, you know,
right.
And like to me, shut up and enjoy the concert.
It's suspending the relate as it in the movies. It suspends reality. You're lost. You're
yes.
now transported in a concert. You are having a communal experience. Yes. But you're also having an interaction with the performer and you start to violate that when you start distracting people from that. It's a given. It's a show. You're in the moment and it screws it up.
All right. Yep. So a couple of cell phone etiquette things. One is I don't care how old your child is, but your child shouldn't be playing with your iPad or cell phone at mass. I'm sorry. It just it shouldn't exist. You figure out a different way to soothe them or whatever. But so A, that, and
hit
then B,
them.
If you're going out to dinner, leave your cell phone, you know, There's one thing that you could do. If you go out to dinner with a bunch of adults, everybody puts their cell phone in the middle of the table. First one to grab the cell phone pays for the bill. That's a good way to keep people from getting on their phones.
All right, so you say no phone at dinner. I like that.
No phone at dinner.
I like that.
Whether you're going out to dinner
what
or
about a landline?
what if you plug in?
Do you remember some movies they would walk over with the phone? Sir, you have a call.
Yeah. Well, there's a great Woody Allen's Play It Again, Sam. His friend is always, yes, hi, I'm now currently at AN6. You know, he was constantly under that contact level.
When you guys were younger and you would sit around the table at dinner time as a family,
yes,
and the phone rang,
yes,
did anybody answer it?
We had all jumped on it because we could be winning $20 with the Dave and Carrie show.
All right, I've seen a couple of texts come in. Here you go. Here's some good ones we can get on board with. Put the shopping cart back
in the cart reception.
All right, so raise of hands here in this studio. Who puts the shopping cart back in its receptacle?
Always.
Every one of us.
If there's one on the way back that somebody left abandoned, I'll grab that too.
I'll tell you what my pet peeve is, though, is the stores that don't offer the little area to put them back.
Yeah.
There's a few stores, and then that's when you see them all over, you know, the curb, in the parking spots. They have to provide that. Or if it's close enough to the store, you just take it back to the store. But my thought is that they should provide that in the parking lot so people can put them back.
You should have some kind of convenience that way. But still, you can walk the 50 yards that you came and back.
It also gives you kind of a fun game if you try to slide yours in with enough velocity to engage the other cart and lock up.
I like to do that, too.
I do it all the time.
Docking.
Docking. It's the shopping equivalent of docking.
Somebody texted in and said, turn your lights on when it rains in the car.
Yes.
Now, most cars are automatically on. But also, if you do have manual high beams, shut them off.
Mm-hmm.
When you are facing traffic or you're behind a car, shut off your high beams.
All right. I have two boardwalk etiquettes. One.
No prostitution.
A boardwalk is like...
Except in Atlantic City.
Except in Atlantic City.
A boardwalk is like driving in the United States. If you're walking in one direction, you stay on the right side of the boardwalk. If you're walking in the other direction, you're on the left side, okay?
I agree with that. People do not know a simple pedestrian flow of traffic. Okay. You're on, there's the right side and the left side, depending on which direction you're going in.
So walk on the right. The same thing can be about places with staircases, too. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like my
going
kids
up, you stay to the right, correct?
At their high school, it's three levels, and kids will come barreling down the wrong side. You need to walk on the right,
little bastards.
Secondly, if you need to stop on the boardwalk for whatever reason, you're waiting for somebody to get a piece of pizza or you're waiting for somebody to go to the bathroom, don't wait in the middle of the boardwalk. Go to the end where the railing is.
You move off to the side so that you're not an obstruction in the flow of pedestrian traffic. And that goes for anywhere. And where it really drives me crazy is in the mall, as people will just dead stop.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Because I was in the several airports this weekend. I flew back and forth from Lake Tahoe. If you are walking in the airport.
Yes.
And you have to stop, which I get it. Like you're looking at something or whatever. That's fine. Don't stop in the middle of the freaking hallway.
You don't do that.
Move to the side. How hard is it?
You would think for me, it would almost seem an instinctive reaction. But I know at some point in time, someone taught me, perhaps, I don't know, a parent taught me.
Yeah.
You move off to the side.
Here's another simple one. On an elevator, out before in every single time. Now, listen, I understand sometimes the door opens and you're, I'm just going to walk in. If somebody is in the elevator and about to get out and you're about to walk in, you say, I'm sorry. And then you step back and you let them out.
Yeah. That's right.
I agree. A couple of texts coming in, taking up two parking spaces.
That's rude.
You should get your license revoked.
Whenever I see that, I just think that has to be a mistake. You can't have known that you did that with it.
They got that hot-ass Prius. They can't let it get dinged. So they're gonna
trucks do it, too.
There was a time when Unevolved Steve would decide such cars had too many side view mirrors. And I had punched off a few.
So that's blatant, but here's another one.
That's even more overt. You're talking for subtleties.
How about if this? If you pull in and you realize you parked incorrectly and you've gotten out of the car, get back in, straighten it out.
Thank you.
Thank you. I just did it in an empty parking lot this morning. I pulled around and I pulled and I realized I was a little off. I got back in the car in an empty parking lot and reset it.
That's what you should do. Chuck D'Amico just came in here.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, sir.
Kathy, this entire break belongs in the quarterly report because this is a phenomenal public service you guys are doing here.
Fair enough.
I love the way Steve is yelling because it's the way I feel about mine.
Exactly.
It's like, please let people off of the goddamn elevator before you walk on.
We had just you must have missed it.
Well, just get my coffee.
No, that is a given. That is a courtesy that you the person has on. They've just completed their harrowing journey down three floors. Let them get off, then you get on. I always say, it's where are you going, hotshot? That you have that you what's happening in your life, world traveling neurosurgeon? That you got to get up to the fourth floor quickly. Well, relax a little bit.
I think what we should all agree to do is just run off the elevator as fast as you can when the doors open. Like, oh, I'm sorry, I broke your nose. Get the hell out of the way.
You know what you should do? Get in a 3-point stance, like right before the doors open.
Trust me, smash through.
All right, hang on. I've a few people text-wise and calling in to mention this very thing, so I'm going to go to Brian. And by the way, these are just tips to teach our youth
so that
future generations will have an easier time. Hi, Brian. You're on the air. Good morning.
Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks, buddy. What's up?
I hate being in the grocery store. You're waiting in line to pay for all your groceries, and there's only two registers open. All of a sudden, they open up a third register, and they say, next customer, please. And the guy, three people behind you, runs over there and gets in that line.
No,
we've talked about this. This is one of my major pet peeves that you're bringing up, Brian. I did it yesterday in the Wawa. They had the line was long, and they opened up the next register. So I'm at the end of that line, and I basically I stopped everyone from moving over until
the first
other people in line. Would you like to go? Would you like to? And then if they wave you off, then you can go.
Exactly.
But you have to get. It's the same thing if you're driving along and somebody for some reason stops or their car stalls or whatever. I believe that it's the car behind that car that has the first right to move over into the lane
Not
to get around.
Six cars behind.
I don't believe that ass, nine cars back, suddenly Mario Andretti's it up past those guys because that's going to cause an accident.
Yep.
First come, first serve.
Exactly.
Thanks, Brian.
Standard protocol.
There was another one. Don't walk in front of someone if they are taking a picture. You know, if there's a group of people and we're doing
a
group.
Excuse me. Or this, Preston. You're standing in a store and someone's looking at things on a shelf.
Yes, thank you.
Excuse me.
Yes.
I'm walking through. That's what you do. Or you try to walk. I'll climb up the goddamn shelf to get past them without them walking between their line of sight.
I just say.
It's just rude.
Excuse me. That's mine.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yep. These are just little.
I already spit on this one.
Little tips that'll make things better. Bill Weston, you came walking in. You look you might have one as well. So, we need the music. Yeah,
yes, sorry we about do.
That. Yeah, all right. Hey, Bill. Man About Town is in our studio.
Yes. Welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
I feel like we're getting our frustrations out from our vacation week.
Let's
right, yes.
No, my biggest pet peeve, I'm driving down a residential street with two lanes, right?
Yes.
There's a stoplight coming up. Right, and you're behind another car.
Yes.
They're slowing down. They turn their left-hand turn signal on 6 feet before they make the turn.
There you go. You have now stranded the person behind you who thought you were going to travel straight through the intersection, and you've locked them in place. That last-second blink, and I understand sometimes you might have forgotten to put it on, but clearly, come on.
Or the person who puts the signal on halfway through the turn.
It's over already, Johnny. It's already over.
Yeah. It's like, come on. Like 300 feet before the turn, make a turn signal. Let me know so I can get in the other lane.
If you were taking your driver's test and they signaled that late, they would fail. You're supposed to alert the people. But first off, using your turn signal in general has gone the way of the dodo. But in that case especially, you need to use it.
All right. So I agree. I agree with that one, Bill. Yeah, it's because your signal is indicating what other people can and can't do. So it's we're all helping each other out.
Yes.
We all got places to go.
Oh, well, okay. So in that point, quickly, Preston, when you're at the front of an intersection and the turn signal goes on,
Move!
Yeah, yeah.
Move! I'm trying to allow as many people behind me to get through as possible.
I know we've gone to a lot of
traffic
and traffic stuff.
Yeah. But we've all got places to go. We've all got places to go.
This one baffles me. People walking in the middle of the street when there's a sidewalk there.
Okay.
Right. They're taking their walk to get some exercise or whatever it may be. They're walking in the road.
Get your ass up on the sidewalk.
Oh, see, I don't mind that.
There's a sidewalk.
Get your ass on the sidewalk.
If there's not a sidewalk, understood. But
Your ass on the sidewalk.
No,
there's a sidewalk.
I do it. I run in the street. I don't run in the middle of the street. I run along the curb, but I don't run on the sidewalk.
Is that so you don't have to go up and down and maybe trip
and also so I don't trip,
That, listen, if there's more than enough room to accommodate you in passing traffic, that's fine. I think in many cases, people stop the flow of traffic, and it drives me out of my goddamn
What's really mind. Frustrating is down the shore when I ride my bike on Seaview, there's a bike lane, right? So on bikes, you're supposed to go with traffic. But when you run, you tend to run against traffic so you can see the cars coming, I guess. So in the bike lane, people are running at me.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, man. But Saturday, I was riding my bike in the bike lane. Steve?
Yes.
There's a picture of a guy on a bike in this lane, and then an arrow that points this way. There was a guy going against me. And I'm like, dude, you on the other side of the road.
You're totally wrong now. And then he should have apologized. Did he apologize?
No.
All right.
No. And then also I had to pass him on the left because he was on the right side of the lane. I'm like, dude, maybe he was from England. I don't know. Maybe that all made sense to him. I don't know.
Let me go to Scott. These are little tips to make life a little bit easier. Hi, Scott. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. What's up, buddy?
Hey, so one of my pet peeves is when I go to someplace where there's like four registers open, okay? And I view it as you should stand behind. You should choose a register line to go in. But then there's that one guy that'll stand 10 feet back from all four registers.
Yeah, yeah.
And he will be form a line, you know, basically form a line behind me, and I will then go to the next. So then the line gets even deeper, and I'm one of those people, I'll walk up. Now I won't be totally rude, but if there's, like, two people, I'll go and be like, I'm going to pick a line. I will pick a line. My wife's like, what are you doing? I'll be like, there's four registers. I'm going to choose one. And I'm going to start a line.
Unless you are right. Unless the store has set up an area for that, and some stores will do that. Yeah. They'll have a line that's corralled, and at the point where you depart that line, you have your choice of registers to pick from.
Kathy,
but sometimes
Home Goods does that, and so does Dick's. Some Dick's Sporting Goods will do that.
But it's set up that way.
Yeah, that's
right. What he's talking about is the free agent.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not going to commit to I'm a loose cannon.
Yeah.
Any line could be my line. And then they feel the onus is now everyone who's coming up behind them to stand behind them and wait for them to make their choice.
I see that at Panera a lot. It happens like that sometimes.
Free for all?
Yeah.
Free for all.
Yeah. Yeah, they just kind of hover back. Depends on which one you
don't you? Don't Thanks, you man. Ask? Don't you always ask? I'm sorry. Excuse me. Are you in line?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Before I'm going to ask, if someone's in the general area, are you in line? Yeah. I don't want to cut you.
Which one are you in line?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Marissa?
Anytime you're going into a public store, a public space, just half a head turn to see if you should hold the door for someone behind you.
Well, sure.
Okay.
Always.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never. It's just that easy. Just a little tilt back. Don't drop the door on somebody.
Yeah, some people
like lean back like Big Joe was.
No, but I do that when we're walking out of the building here, and I open the door. Always just turn around. Do I need to hold the door for anybody? Uh-huh. And if somebody's within, I don't know, 10 yards, I'll stand there and hold the door.
Yeah, if they're like between like Manja and even like coming out of the elevator, you're like
coming out of the elevator.
If you want to F with someone, you can do the where they're like halfway across the parking lot and you open up the door and hold it and nod at them.
Then they
have to start skipping.
Yeah, then there's the waiting. Yeah, the doing it too early because then you cause them to jog.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody had suggested an idea of at Wawa to paint a line that is, if you're short, is it you?
Was it Pat House?
If you're short, well, Pat House is a great bit about Wawa's door-to-door convenience and the holding in the vestibule, holding the doors open. But there should be a line, and if you haven't reached that line yet, then I don't have to hold the door for you.
Yes.
Or if you have reached that line, then clearly I should hold the door open.
If the door is held open for you,
thank you.
Damn well better say thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Hey, Wawa, if you're listening right now, and I know you are,
maybe put a poll out there. And
the strippers.
No. A Twitter poll.
Oh.
A Twitter poll to say how far the line should be and have the people, vote on it.
Right.
And then it's agreed upon. Okay, 15 yards.
How about this one with the saying thank you, Steve? So, and I know, trust me, I know what you're going to do. But if there's a vestibule like we have here in the building,
yeah,
or like in Wawa, where there's two sets of doors you have to go through, somebody holds the first door open, hey, thank you. And then they hold the second one. You're being kind of repetitive by saying thank you one more time. Sometimes I'll do it, sometimes I won't, or I'll just give them a nod or something along those lines. But you know what I mean?
Or what you do is you go through and then you open the door for them on the second door.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good move.
Absolutely, you're right.
If you return the favor.
You're making it through first.
Right.
So
All right, real quick, I need to jump in here because we do need to take a break. Preston, I do think that this is worth coming back to if you want to come back to it.
I think we did enough.
I think it's very rude of you to ask the man whose name is number one on the show what he wants to do.
Steve as well.
No, I wasn't. I was looking out for him.
I think we're getting people can text in about it, or we can post on social media.
Well, if you want to continue, Casey's executive producer, so
he could do it. Yeah, I guess.
No. I was.
Do we want to continue with this?
Well, we have to take a break.
We have to take a break, and whatever we come back with will not be that long of a segment. So
we can finish this off in the second. So you want to have people hold? Preston,
we can cycle through.
Or we can cast them adrift.
Sure, I was all set to kind of move along, but we can do that.
Let's move along then.
No. We'll take a break. We'll come back in just a moment or two. But I think this helps life become a little easier for everybody if we just follow from some fairly simple etiquette rules.
Yeah. Civility.
We'll come back in a second. We'll get you some of the details about our trip to London as well. I'm broadcasting live and you being on board. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, thanks, Kath. Real quick, I want to reiterate the fact that we are headed to London. It is Miller Lite London calling with the Green Legion and the Preston and Steve Show. This is in October. Our buddy Quimby was here to give us all the details about the event, but we're going to be doing two shows live on a Friday and a Monday, and the Eagles play that Sunday before the Monday we broadcast live, which is October 28th at Wembley Stadium. You can buy packages through greenlegion.com. We are going to have your chance to win a trip along with us. And Quimby just told me something.
This is very cool.
If you go ahead, let's say you buy a package, all right, and you go ahead and purchase through Green Legion, if you come out and win at one of our events, they'll credit you that, and you won't end up paying anything for the trip that you already paid
for.
No way. So the winning will supersede your tickets, and you'll get basically the credit for that.
The trip for free.
So do both, basically.
Yeah. So you can sort of hedge your bets. You want to go anyway. It's like, okay, well, let me buy the trip. And because I was gonna buy it anyway.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Heads up on that. And listen, tomorrow morning, we're going to have a chance for you to win this. Brian Dawkins is being inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. And we're going to give away a trip to that event, which is going to be on August 3rd. And that includes a tailgate party and hotel and accommodations and transportation and all that stuff. So we give that away through Green Legion tomorrow morning.
It's very cool that they're so comprehensive in what they do to it. It sort of takes all the fuss and muss off your plate.
They've been doing it for 15 years.
Yeah.
So they got it down. They know exactly what
they started the very same day you peed in Tim Grant's sink.
Yeah, actually, it was right around that time from what we understood. To follow up, we're going to do a follow up to our last segment, which was little pieces of etiquette that we can pass on to people to make life a little bit easier. The conversation got started because the last two movies I've been to, the most recent one, Ant-Man and the Wasp, somebody sitting directly next to my family talking. Conversation, not even commentary on the movie. It was worse. If they had been talking about what's going on in the movie, that was bad enough. But they weren't even talking about that. It was personal stuff. It was whatever. They were giggling. They were talking about things in the middle of important plot points of the movie. Took a phone call during the movie. Why? Why are you doing that?
Why are you, A,
why are you
wasting
here?
Your money when you clearly don't want to be here? And B, why are you screwing up my experience here and being so disrespectful to everyone surrounding you?
I got one, and somebody texted this in earlier, and I don't know why it bothers me as much as it does, but when you sometimes need to speak on speakerphone, and I get that, maybe in a car it makes sense, but when you're out in public,
yeah.
Or if you're in, say, nature,
yeah.
And enjoying a walk,
ugh.
I don't want to hear your conversation with the other person on the other side. And like,
everyone's suddenly Captain Kirk.
Yes, and why is it difficult to put the ear to your phone and have a conversation that way? If you want to talk on the phone, that's fine. I would rather you not do it in a park, but that's whatever. It's your business. It's your phone. Why do you have to use a speakerphone?
And well, I don't want you to hear my conversation either.
That
like,
too.
I don't want to have the person on the other line on speaker.
Some people do.
Are
want
you still having your period? Because I remember you were bleeding awfully bad.
Oh, my God. The people that I've seen, and you'll see it in the city a lot, walking down the street with their phone out like this.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Some beam people, me up.
It's kind of an attention getter,
is
I
it?
Think, for some
well,
people.
Well, it was born of the Nextel era. You remember the Nextel where...
yep.
Yeah, you're still on the site?
Yeah.
But yeah. Then it exceeded. It got past just construction workers who can use it for that purpose. And it was just... So everyone wants you to know they're carrying on it. My phone has no wires.
Yeah.
We got it. They've been around for a while.
People do that at the gym, too, right? Like on the treadmill, they'll have a full-on...
Oh, that's just dumb. All right, so these people have been on hold for a while. Let me go to these.
Now,
this one I don't quite understand, but let me go to Bob here. Hey, Bob, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. All right, so what's your piece of etiquette you want to pass along?
Okay, so I had a similar instance of what you and your family did, but for mine was at the fireworks.
Yeah, at the fireworks display. Anyone in particular or just a general fireworks display?
Well, I live down in Cape May, so we get to see the fireworks the 3rd and the 4th. The 3rd at the ferry, the 4th in Cape May.
All right.
Well, we're at the ferry. Now, when the fireworks start, everybody pretty much knows to be quiet. Don't talk during the fireworks display.
It's hard to hear them.
Well, not the hard to hear them. It's just it's in respect because of whatever you represent.
Oh, okay. Oh, because of what they represent?
Well, yeah, it was during the war. That's the whole... The bombs.
I understand a little bit of what you're saying. Listen, you're not going to find more patriotic than I am, but I'm certainly
it's
going
not
the
to. National anthem.
Yeah, the national anthem. I agree with you 1,000%. You got to show some respect. I can see kids like oohing and aahing and oh, that was amazing, or being, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
Right.
Oohing and aahing, that's fine. But when you have a group behind you that does nothing but talk and not the ooh and the aahing part about every little stupid little thing they can think of.
Mm-hmm.
My son, now I was like you. I didn't want to get up and say anything because of my family being there.
Yeah.
Well, listen, let me ask you.
Wait, your son, you were going to say something. Your son what?
My 11-year-old son got up, turned around, walked back to the kid that was talking constantly and said, would you please shut your mouth? Do you not know what this represents? Stop being disrespectful and shut your mouth. And turned around, came back and sat down and continued to watch.
Interesting. Okay.
Didn't say nothing else until the end of the fireworks.
Up until this moment, I didn't know that it was a patriotic represented.
I'm pretty tied into it. You know me, I always think it's more of it's not like to me the national. It's joyous. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fireworks.
It's celebration.
It's sparklers.
It.
It's running around. It's the celebration part.
Wow.
It's not to me. So people talking. Besides that. The fireworks I've been around tend to be loud.
Yeah.
Well, so I mean, it's hard to unless you're yelling over them, it's hard. But to listen, you can also be in proximity to people and be obnoxious, and maybe that's what he was talking about. People just in general being a little too loud and boisterous and screwing up the event.
Yeah. All right. How about this one? Let's go to Peter. Hi, Peter. Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What's up, Pete?
Good too. Hey, my biggest problem, I'm a truck driver, and I have to get gas on a daily basis. So I pull into these gas stations / convenience stores, and people ahead of me will park their cars or trucks at the gas pumps and then decide to go in and start shopping for their ultimate little Sambo that they're looking for. And you got to sit there for 20 minutes waiting for a stupid gas pump to get freed up.
Yeah.
Why can't they just get the gas, park in one of those open spaces yeah. next to the
Well, this is very useful information, and I agree with you 1,000%. If you are at a very active gas station, the only time I can see it is if it's a time where there's nobody there and you're just going to quickly dart in without moving your car. But if you're in an active gas station with a lot of people or a Wawa or whatever, then when you're done with your gas, pull into a spot and then go in and get your food.
Yeah. I survey the situation first. I'm like,
exactly.
All right, a lot of people are here. No way that right. I'm going to gas and I'm going to park. I'm going to go. Or I'll do it in the other order. I'll go in and sure. get my food first and then come out and get the gas. But there are some people that do have to prepay, so they'll pull in, they'll get their spot. They need to reserve that right. spot because you're saying, you got to, you know, give me $20 on pump.
And that's 12. Understandable, too.
And while they're in there, they might pick up something to eat.
But if they come out with a new mink coat and jewelry, right, right. then it's like, come on.
But you know, I think it's legit.
You're not allowed to actually have your gas pumping while you walk into Wawa?
I think that's technically, yeah.
You're supposed
it's,
to be.
At Wawa, it happened to me. I didn't know. I think it's some sort of law, at least in Pennsylvania. I was in Pennsylvania, and the lady told me she had to cut off my the gas flow because I had walked really? Away from the car and into Wawa. Yeah.
Look okay. at Miss Fancy Britches out there.
And I had heard stories of people actually stealing gasoline that way. Like when yeah, the people yeah. would go in, they come over wow. with a container and pull it out and gas up real quick and leave.
Or have gas fights like Zoolander.
Right, exactly. Orange bag. Frappuccino. Let me go. All right, so these are little suggestions of etiquette. I'm going to go to Chris. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Jersey Black Rock.
Jersey yeah, Black Rock.
Been a while, man. What's up?
So one of my biggest pet peeves is, you know, you run into ShopRite or Acme and you're getting milk or bread for your wife. And you go up to the self-checkout with 10 items or less, and someone has a full cart, and they're doing it themselves. And
okay, so
eight people in line now.
Now, yeah, are you're talking about the self-checkout?
Yes, the self-checkout, and most of the time it's 10 items or less. And I get it. You have 15 items, maybe 20. I'll let it slide. But if you have a full cart
yep.
and you're holding up eight yeah. people because...
But hold on, I don't think self-checkout is 10 items or less.
Self-checkout is not, though there are specified...
Okay, well, this specific one that I go to, right. and there's usually four of them, and one's broken. There's an old lady at the other one. And so there's really only one that's open, and you've got eight people with, you know, two items waiting for this guy with a full cart.
Listen, right. this is the age-old thing where people say, well, you know... And there are arguments back and forth. Does a six pack count as six separate items, or is it one item?
Yeah,
or is,
I need someone that works there that counts. That
is diligent. Yeah. yeah,
but they sell the. I can't remember the yeah. last time I saw someone ejected from a line for exceeding the item no. count.
Well, no. I think there's the 10 items or less line, and then there's self checkout because a lot of the stores are moving towards self checkout. Like at Lowe's, there's no cashiers. It's only self checkout. They have somebody at the customer service desk.
Cashiers, but
not at the one in Plymouth Meeting.
No kidding.
There's no cashiers. It's only self checkout. So it doesn't matter how
you're
much
still
stuff
building
you
that
have.
Barn.
It doesn't matter how much stuff you have. Yeah, you have to go through that line.
Mm. Interesting.
I just don't want to self-check out all of that stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I'm fine with it.
If yeah. I got a cart full of stuff, it's not because there's no giant conveyor belt there, right? So you got to like take it. There's yeah. only like a little.
And if you take something off, then it indicates that you've taken something off. You right. got to put it
backs
back on.
Have been
now.
Removed from the bagging
yeah.
area.
Yeah.
right.
And it's all assistance.
What? How am I supposed to get in the bag?
I only use that when I have very few items because of that reason.
Well, I go in. I prep my. I always go to the two-bagger, Preston. And I always prep my bags because it gets pissed off if you haven't put it in the bag quickly
mm-hmm.
enough.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to Dave. It says he's an animated guy here. Hi, all Dave. Right. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. What's up, Dave?
I'm just sorry to bother you at work this early.
That's okay. You don't have to be upset about it.
That's all right.
All right, what's
you.
Up, buddy?
Listen, the red light, when you're at an intersection and uh-huh. somebody's making a left-hand turn and the car that's behind that car that's making the turn, if you've got ample room on the right-hand side to go around that person, why don't you do that? Why do you got to sit there and wait for that person to turn, especially at red light cameras? Because you only got a certain amount of minutes or, you know, seconds, basically, under a minute.
I don't follow.
Well, here's what I think you're saying. So, Dave, at that point, I think that's your discretion, though. If you want to stay there and are you, how would that affect you if you were...
Now,
okay, if you've got four or five cars behind that car that's, you know, that's turning.
Right.
Now, if there's room for that car that's behind the car that's turning to go around them, your wheel turns. Your wheel turns. It don't stay straight.
You mean to pull around, go behind you? Do you mean drive on the shoulder?
No, just go around, you know, at the intersection. If it's a wide enough intersection, why do you got to wait? You know, behind that person instead of just going around them.
No, I know what you're saying. There's a full lane of available space to pass this person. You're saying that if that person right behind them doesn't do it, that they're doing everyone else a disservice. My line of thinking is if that person is clearly not going to make the move, then if, you know, earlier I said that person always has the option to be the first one to do it. But if you don't do it, then the people behind that person can start to go around. It does cause the potential for an accident if people don't act on that.
Yeah.
But that to me is a little bit of a gray area, but I understand what you're saying.
And also this.
And I'm behind Bill, too, with that, with wait for people waiting, like, midway through the intersection. Why'd you bother? Why'd you bother putting the
right, on? Right. It's too freaking late.
Thanks, Dan.
Also, if you're at a red light, just look to see if there's a sign that says no turn on red. And if there isn't a sign that says no turn on red, you can turn. You can go. You can go.
I want to go to Laura, who is a cashier. Hi, Laura. Good morning.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thank you, Laura. So what little tidbit of information you want to pass along to people to make life a little easier?
Two things. I run the express aisle, and I heard your conversation about people putting more items in. That is the worst, standing behind at the register. You tell them they have too many, and they give you an attitude.
Yeah, right. I'm sure.
That's why most people don't, probably.
Yeah.
And then the second pet peeve is people who talk on their cell phones when you're trying to say, hi, how are you?
Yeah, when you're conducting business.
And they're having full-blown conversations on their phone and not paying attention to checking out, paying you, the other people in line.
You're just superfluous riffraff. They don't. It's insulting and it's not courteous. Yeah. It's dismissive. And I agree.
And technically, you're conducting business at that time. You should tell that person can wait. How long do you spend?
Reach across, hang up the phone.
Yeah.
She'll call you back.
Hey, she'll call you back.
I've wanted to 100 times.
I'm sure.
Like, would you please hang up the effing phone?
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Say that to
appreciate
them.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Do you want to go to Craig, who wants to defend his honor about talking during a movie?
Sure.
Well, I already got an email. He's pissed.
Here. All right. Craig Ligons, who, you know, I was talking about people last two movies I've been to, talkers next to me. And Casey had heard and experienced Craig speaking during a movie.
No, I've never sat next to him as far as I know.
I have.
For this reason?
And he has abided by, he has not spoken, but he knows my passion about this.
All right. He usually gets there way before me. So,
okay. Craig, you're on. Good morning.
What up, white folks?
What's up?
I've calmed down. Okay. I was incredibly upset before when I heard my name on the radio in regards to what Casey was talking about, Preston. I apologize on behalf of people like me that ruined your movie experience.
Right.
So I'm not going to defend myself. I heard what Casey said in his email, and I still think it's bull crap. I was not, and I don't want anyone to think that I'm this obnoxious a-hole who can't keep his mouth shut during a movie screening. So I'm saying right now on this show and for anyone else in Delaware Valley to hear, no more movie screenings, okay? I will not attend any more movie screenings.
Wow. Nobody's saying that.
With any presidency fans, because I don't want anyone thinking that I'm this guy who can't keep his mouth shut during a film. Ever since
the thing is, though, Craig, no one would believe you. They need to see a demonstration. Actually, what you need to do is go to future screenings and not talk throughout the screening, and they'll believe you. I know for a fact that I've sat near you during a couple of screenings, and you understand how I felt, and you did not talk.
And at this last screening at Ant-Man and the Wasp, I did not talk.
So, Casey, you're saying that Craig, was it possible you're hearing someone else other than Craig, or was Craig talking?
No, I didn't hear. I just heard. All right, so your co-host, Craig, told me he corroborated. So maybe this is something.
My co-host is sitting 20 rows behind me. He did not sit together at all.
Wow. He's Rockstar Rob is Craig's co-host for the Comic Book Gurus.
Yes. He corroborated. He didn't necessarily say it was this screening, but he had said that it does happen at screenings. And then also, I'm outing everybody. Your friend Heather also said the same thing.
First of all, Heather and I watch movies at her place or at my place, where all we do is talk during the movie. So that's what that was about. Okay.
Yeah.
Second of all, Rob and I sat together for one screening, and I was at the infamous Spider-Man one.
Right.
Where I was called out of my behavior. Since then, I have not said a word. On this Ant-Man and Wasp, I did not say a word. They played the Partridge Family song during the movie. I sang along to it. I wasn't clapping my hands and waving them in the air in a careless manner.
Were you singing out loud? Were you singing so that other people around you could hear it?
No. Okay. I was not. And I don't know what Rob was talking about. I don't know what
Heather was talking about.
Heather was talking about. Because I don't want there to be any more discrepancy, no more movie screens.
That's your choice.
I just got a text that says Craig was not speaking during Jurassic World, so there's a confirmation that he was not.
Now you guys have a topic for your next podcast, too.
Why did you cut me? Why have you betrayed me? Why are you? You can say to the next topic could be, why is Rockstar Rob my Fredo?
Rockstar Rob.
And by the way, you know what?
It was
that velvet jacket's full of lies.
It was heat wave. Okay. So the movie was on Monday night. It was heat wave. It was 95 degrees.
Yeah.
And Rob, full on velvet jacket, pants, scarf,
fingerless gloves.
Oh my God.
It was so hot before the movie, I was white. That's how hot it was.
And Rob lives close to me, so I can also confirm that he does not take that velvet jacket off when he gets in the car.
You see him jogging around Conshohocken
with
that on?
No, he drives by, he beeps, he waves every time he passes me, and velvet jacket and all.
Mm. All right.
All right, well, we've heard your stance on this.
And Preston, I'm sorry that happened to you.
No, listen, it was two movies in a row, man. It was just, and it was crazy. And it wasn't, and listen, I want to indicate as well, this wasn't the first couple that I had the experience with were African-American. The second couple were Caucasian.
Yeah.
And, you know, because there's a reputation that some African-Americans will have a dialogue with the movie on the screen. And that can be funny.
Richard Pryor's done bits about it.
It can be fun in the proper scenario. These are people that were just talking to each other. And I'm like, just shut up, man.
Not even paying attention.
So much money to come here.
Yes.
Well, on behalf of my race, I apologize.
No, I'm not putting your race out there.
Thank you for accommodating.
Of my race, I say, shut up. People talking in the movie theater, everybody. That's where I think we can all come together.
We can all come together
and
for that.
Watch it at home.
All right, Craig, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We love you.
Thank you. All right. We love you.
Goodbye.
All right, see you. We have some movie screening passes to give away.
No, it's not screening passes.
Oh, these aren't screening passes.
You can watch this in the comfort and quiet
and
of your
talk
own.
Talk all you want.
And it's a quiet place.
So I just saw it over the weekend, and I saw it in quiet perfection in my home under optimum conditions.
What did you think?
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
If I had been there, and you know how Craig talks all the time. No.
This is out on DVD already?
It is. Blu-ray and DVD.
Yeah, Blu-ray. Yeah. So we'll take caller number 10 at 215-263-WMMR. We'll set you up with Emily Blunt and John Krasinski. And it is hailed as the scariest and most innovative movie of the year. You can own it starting tomorrow, I believe, on Blu-ray, rated PG-13 from Paramount Pictures. Caller number 10, 215-263-WMMR. I didn't mean for this to be a two-part bitch session. I apologize, but I just had it with this particular thing. And then a dude riding in the left lane, going slow. We know the old standard about that. But there's just things that we can do that I feel are common courtesy that just makes everybody a little happier.
You know, if you start the week this way and you start giving a little bit extra attention to the way you interact with other people, it could make it a fine week for everyone.
It could. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. I got some more great Bizarre File stories to share with you. We'll get to those next.
This summer, surprise! The MM Army is hitting house parties throughout the Delaware Valley, delivering our summer house party pack. Got a backyard barbecue, pool party, summer shindig? No matter what the party, we're going to help you get it started right. With food from Philly's own Dietz and Watson, premium meats and artisan cheeses, a case of Bud Light Lime or Bud Light Orange, and backyard party games courtesy of Jeff D'Ambrosio Auto Group. Hit up the contest page at WMMR.com to register your party to win MMR's Summer House Party Pack from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your summer.
Thanks, Kath. Case, how are we doing on time here?
We're good.
Because yeah. I wanted to mention this, Steve. Thank you for reminding me of this, since we are big superhero fans. But Steve Ditko, who was a co-creator of Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, passed away. He was 90 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in reading the article. You know, Stan Lee is the face of most of those characters, but obviously there's a whole slew of people that were behind the development of a lot of those well-known characters, and he was one of them.
Yeah, and co-creators as well, Preston. So, yeah, he was one of them, and he was actually pretty responsible for creating the Rogues Gallery of villains for Spider-Man.
Yeah, I was reading. He was he created Doc Ock, Sandman, the Lizard, and Green Goblin.
Yeah, which are major villains.
And then in 1963, he was tasked with Doctor Strange. So
I have to say, Doctor Strange, from the, you know, not being that familiar, sort of familiar, seeing the first movie, enjoyed it a lot, wasn't, you know, blown away. And then in Infinity War, I'm like, okay, this is what Doctor Strange brings to the game.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So 90 years old, but what a legacy, man. Spider-Man, that's going to, you know, those characters are going to live on for quite some time.
It's funny. It becomes our Arthurian legend. It's our, you know, King Arthur and the whole. It has its own lore. It's amazing. And now with these movies, over the weekend, I was watching Civil War. Dear God, you know, they're just so good, so well done, and the story so flat. I haven't seen Ant-Man yet, but what was your?
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's an adventure. Yeah. It's, you know, I mean, not much in the way of forwarding a big story along, but
sure.
It was, or actually, yeah, there's elements of it that are, but I had a blast.
Cool.
Other than the idiots talking next to
I know. Will you go back and see it? Yeah.
God. Yeah. Shut up. I am going to go back and see it because my son Carter's out of the country right now. And when he comes back, we'll take him to go see it. So we'll do it all again.
Cool. Okay.
And maybe we'll just buy all the tickets in the theater.
Yeah.
Well,
you could.
There's that guy that does that.
It's a great idea.
He buys the whole theater and then he sells a limited amount of tickets. Like, let's say there's 300 seats in the theater. He only sells 100 tickets. And I don't think he either doesn't sell it for a profit or he, whatever profits he makes, he gives to charity.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Or you could just do it and break even, and you and your friends all get to,
yep.
you know, all get to go see a movie in a nice.
The trick is for many of us, though, is scaring up 100 friends.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's part of it. You're right. All right. We got to do the Bizarre File. We're ready. Here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, let me see. What stories did I not get to in the last segment? We'll begin with this. A sergeant with the Charlotte County Sheriff's Office in Florida has been fired following an internal affairs investigation. And you're like, well, what is this? What horrible thing did this guy do? He was accused of intentionally exposing his testicles in a bar.
Oh, you can't do that.
Well, listen to the story behind this. So Sergeant James White was fired last week. The incident in question happened at Leroy's Southern Kitchen and Bar.
Yeah.
Several members of the sheriff's office were celebrating a detective's promotion that night, and they congregated at Leroy's after dinner elsewhere. Several civilians and employees reported seeing Sergeant White intentionally exposing his scrotum and testicles outside of his unzipped fly while in full view of other patrons.
Your balls are showing.
The exposure started in the bar area, and it continued while Sergeant White walked around the business and while seated at a table where he is said to have intentionally twisted his seat to provide an unobstructed view of his testicles.
Is it possible that it was just a low-placed corsage?
Maybe. Okay. I don't know. No, he was obviously doing a prank.
He was
letting him hang out, and he was just, you know.
That is, in fact, that's a standard prank to see how long you can get away with that.
Yeah, for everybody to
At
to
a bar.
See.
They call it hanging brains or something
like that? Exactly. Yeah. In fact, that's exactly right, yeah.
You're right.
I think you were the first one to mention that name.
But if you are a deputy in the sheriff's office.
Shouldn't be doing hanging brains.
Might want to do, refrain from hanging brains.
Hey, look at my butthole. What am I? I'm a sheriff.
The conclusion of the investigation was that the report events were most likely true due to witness statements. So he's in trouble for that. At least three suspected poachers were apparently killed by lions while hunting rhinos at a South Africa wildlife reserve. Rangers found human remains at Sibuya Game Reserve and police... returned the following morning to look for the poachers, and investigators found a human head along with other body parts and limbs. And
Sabuya that, bitch!
And three pairs of empty shoes, a rifle, and an axe were also found at the lion camp. Police have not identified the slain humans, and they're testing the rifle to determine whether they were poachers. Nine rhinos have been shot and killed by poachers so far this year on Eastern Cape Reserves. Three white rhinos were killed by poachers at Sabuya in June of 2016, and three rhinos were killed in May at the nearby Port Alfred Nature Reserve.
I wonder what they get for Wakanda battle rhinos.
Ooh, they're tough.
Because they're huge.
Yep. Anyhow, that's pretty messed up, man. A curious teenager had to have surgery to remove a smartphone charging cable he inserted in his urethra when it got knotted in his bladder.
Oh, my God. So up to there, he's doing everything right. He's inserting the cord into his urethra, but then the knot, right, is the issue.
Yeah, I got caught in the bladder. The 13-year-old...
But you can still charge your phone without the cord in your urethra, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
The 13-year-old said to have inserted half the USB cable up about 7.8 inches.
Where's your phone? You don't want to know.
Before realizing he could not pull it out again. His concerned parents took him to a local hospital in China's northeast Heilongjiang province, where medics applied lubrication in a bid to pull it out. However, when that proved unsuccessful and caused intense pain for the teenager, he was transferred to a hospital the next day. The facility's resident urologist said that he cut off one end of the cable and inserted it. The cable reached his bladder where it tangled and ended up in a knot.
We think we know what the problem is. There is a phone recharging cord in your son's dong. Yeah, we know that. That's why we drove over here.
When he tried to pull it back out, it became stuck.
Okay. We think we got it now. There's a phone charging cord in your son's penis.
Got to the bottom of that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So the doctor...
That's not natural.
The doctor said she and her team had no choice but to operate on the boy. They cut into his bladder to find a knotted cable. They snipped the tangled section and removed the remaining cord.
We're going
to
try to pull it out through his butt. You know, like flossing.
Through the urethra. The boy was discharged from the hospital on July 3rd and just over 2 weeks after he had had his surgery. Yeah. In and out.
You know... That's just something I know for many, and you have many bizarre file stories where that many believe that's a port of entry.
No.
I don't. That to me does not. You've had the medical check. Was that a pleasant experience?
No, it's not. But it's a fetish called sounding. Some people like it.
It gets in the way of my docking.
Very strange. No, I can't sound today. We're docking.
We're docking. Yeah. You wouldn't hear a thing.
Uh-uh. And then one last story. Let's see. Can't end with that one because that's a nasty one. Let me go with one that is not so dour. How about this one? A man was seriously injured after a firework exploded in his hand on July 4th. As you would imagine, this happened several times over that holiday. But Jonathan Soto suffered injuries on his left hand and his chest after he grabbed a mortar-style firework in his left hand and waited for it to ignite.
Dear God, a mortar.
It's a grenade, folks.
Does anybody know if the amount of injuries skipped up because of the relaxed fireworks laws?
I'll have to search and see if it indeed was. But the firework blew up in his hand, and EMS was called to the scene. Alcohol appears to be a factor in the incident.
I would imagine.
Soto was taken for treatment for his injuries, and a surveillance camera captured the moment the firework exploded in his hand. I haven't seen that, but wouldn't mind checking that out.
We were talking about that.
Oh, here it is.
There we go. All right.
Do I want
to
watch this?
He's just holding it. He's just holding on to a mortar, gang. Or this can't be the same one.
That's it.
That looked like it. Wow. All right. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you for now. Let's take a quick break. Come back in a moment. If you have not heard yet, the Preston and Steve Show is headed to London for two live broadcasts. I'll give you the details about how you can join us for that, possibly win a free trip. We'll come back in a second. I'll spell all that out if you haven't heard it yet. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Steve, earlier this morning, before we made the announcement that we were going to go to London and broadcast live, you're like, we've never done anything before. we kind of, several years ago, right. 100, we did do shows in Ireland, and we had a great time.
We did,
it
twice.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
And so we're headed to London. We're headed across the pond again, this time around, a little even more celebratory, because the Eagles are playing football against the Jaguars at Wembley Stadium.
Yeah.
It's on this Sunday, as always. But we're coming in on Friday during our show live that morning from London, which you'll hear back here, of course. And then we have the weekend in London. And after the game on Sunday, Monday morning, we broadcast live from London again. Then we'll be leaving on Tuesday and coming back.
A little bit of the flavor of London, hopefully. And we'll, you know, there's some guests. I'm putting together a list of people I'd like to see if we could get out there. You never know who'll be able to come by the show.
Yeah, well, Preston was just mentioning this morning that Star Wars is about to start shooting in London. So I think we could probably
Peter
get Chewbacca.
Cushing.
Yeah.
And be a tough get. Yeah, Chewbacca would be cool. Yeah. And Pinewood Studios is right there where they do a whole bunch of stuff. So.
Yep.
So anyhow, this is through Green Legion and Miller Lite. It's called London Calling. And not only can you buy a chance to go along on this through greenlegion.com, you can win a trip to go along with us. So we're going to take somebody along with us.
Yeah.
And I assume it's a trip or two, right?
Yeah.
Yes, of course it is. And we are going to be having some appearances coming up in the very near future. I think there's a dozen of them all together. And what you do is go to one of these Miller Lite promotional events. One finalist will be chosen at each event. And then we will draw a grand prize winner live on the air in early September. So if you go and you win at one of these events, you win an entry into the final prize. And while you're at these events, there will be other things. Some of them, they'll have a chance to win tickets to an Eagles game.
Yeah.
Some of them, you'll have some tchotchkes and freebies, a chance that you win there, and then you'll be a finalist to go on the trip with us. So we're excited about this taking place.
Yeah, the trip and all these gigs are courtesy of Miller Lite. And so the gigs that Marissa is at, those will be the ones that when you qualify, you'll also win tickets to a home Eagles game.
And so then, it's cool. I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. It's well worth your time to do it, you know?
Yep.
And we don't forget that the game is October 28th at Wembley Stadium. But Green Legion also has a ton of other games. In fact, almost all the away games that you can buy into packages. And, you know, it's transportation, it's accommodations, it's some food and drinks at the tailgate and all that stuff. And they're totally worth it. So they're heading to some really cool places this year. They're going to Tampa, New Orleans, L.A.
The Nashville one, I think they're doing something on the river, like some sort of a what are those?
Riverbanks?
No, the boat.
Paddle boat.
Or
riverboat.
Riverboat, yeah.
All right, cool. So anyhow, check the details out at WMMR.com and get yourself set, because we are headed to London.
You sound like you're from London.
Well, we will when we get back from there. It'll definitely sound like it. All right, so today's lesson question. Son of a bitch, I didn't even look at these.
Oh, man.
All right, we're going to give away a $50 Rita's Water Ice gift card. And the question I have for you this morning is, what food did Roger Ailes want Gretchen Carlson to eat? 215-263-WMMR. It's not ribs, I'll tell you that.
No.
You had to have been listening. What food did Roger Ailes want Gretchen Carlson to eat? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know. And while you're calling in for that wonderful prize, why don't we do the Hollywood Trash?
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, Steve, what do we have today, sir?
Well, a paternity test proving that Floyd Mayweather's 65-year-old father is a father again, this time to a 1-year-old girl with a woman named Persia Ferris. Mayweather Sr. says he's stunned by the test result, especially because he usually pulls his loose old man skin penis into a makeshift condom.
Oh, my God.
Hey!
Yeah, it usually works. Now, even though she filed papers 7 years ago, Maria Shriver and Arnold Schwarzenegger have still not finalized their divorce. Arnold says it's because he's still in love with Maria, while she says it's because Arnold can't say prenuptial.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Grey's Anatomy star Jesse Williams filing documents to have his child support payments reduced from $50,000 a month. Williams says he's deeply concerned that providing a constant supply of food to his kids will hurt their ability to forage. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, we shall see if somebody was listening and knows the answer to this question. What food did Roger Ailes want Gretchen Carlson to eat? 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to go to John. Hey, John, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, buddy. What's the answer? What food did he want her to eat?
Wings.
Wings! Yes. You are correct, sir.
Wings, girl.
Hang on a second, buddy. We are going to set you up with some good stuff. $50 Rita's Water Ice gift card. Rita's Gelati just got even better. The five-layer gelati. You can try one at Rita's signature favorites or create your own. Try one of... Yeah, say that right. All right, endless possibilities. Available only in July, so create yours today at your Rita's. Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All right, a few things to get to this morning. We'll start with this. Elvis Costello has canceled the remaining dates on his European tour after revealing he is recovering from surgery from an aggressive form of cancer, which is never good to hear. Costello, who is now 63, explained that although the prognosis is good, his doctor has strongly advised him to take a break from his current tour itinerary and rest.
I was reading some of this, and what it sounds like, though he hasn't disclosed what kind of cancer it is, that it might very well have been prostate cancer.
Okay. He posted in part on his official website 6 weeks ago, my specialist called me and said, you should start playing the lotto. He had rarely, if ever, seen such a small but very aggressive cancerous malignancy that could be defeated by a single surgery. I was elated and relieved that our European summer tour could go ahead. Post-surgical guidelines for such surgery recommended 3 weeks to 4 weeks recovery, depending on whether you are returning to a desk job or occupation that involves physical work or travel. It was impossible to judge how this advisory would line up with the demands on a traveling musician playing 90 minutes to 2 hour plus performances on a nightly basis. But by the time we reached the Edinburgh Playhouse, I was almost fooled into thinking that normal service had been resumed. Take very good care of your loved ones, but gentlemen, do talk to your friends. You'll find that you are not alone. Seek your doctor's advice if you are in doubt or when it is timely, and act as swiftly as you may in these matters. It may save your life. Believe me, it's better than playing roulette, he said. So hopefully he'll be mend properly.
Yes, yeah.
Be okay and back on the road sometime. He's a hard-working musician, so.
One of my favorites.
Pearl Jam was joined on stage by Soundgarden guitarist Kim Thayil, also MC5 guitarist Wayne Kramer and singer Marcus Durant, for a performance of the MC5's Kick Out the Jams during Pearl Jam's set at the Rock Werchter Festival in Belgium on Saturday night. Thayil, Kramer, and Durant are touring as part of MC50, a Kramer-led tribute to the 50th anniversary of MC5, with Cameron joining them on select shows as well. I'm not that familiar with MC5. Nick, are they Seattle?
I'm not that familiar with them either, but I've heard Pearl Jam do that song in different concerts.
These performances have marked the first time that Cameron and Thayil have played together live since Soundgarden came to end and last year. So that's kind of why it was a big deal, because those guys were playing together.
Yeah.
Hell Yeah has shared a video tribute to its late drummer Vinnie Paul Abbott, while Hell Yeah guitarist Tom Maxwell and singer Chad Gray both shared statements of their own. This is the first time the band has issued something as an entity. Hell Yeah is expected to recruit a new drummer for touring purposes this fall, as the band is due to release a new LP for which Vinny had completed his drum tracks before his death on June 22nd. Prophets of Rage, the supergroup featuring members of Rage Against the Machine, Public Enemy, and Cypress Hill, have released a new song. It's called Heart of Fire. The track comes just a few days after Prophets bassist Tim Comerford and drummer Brad Wilk revealed in an interview that the band has already finished its second album. Comerford said about the new LP sound, it's different, and it's a different direction. It's not the same, and I love that. We're growing, and we're creating, and we're going in new territory, and I feel really good about it. How cool is this? Paul McCartney's recent carpool karaoke appearance with James Corden has pushed the Beatles and McCartney back onto the charts.
Isn't that wild?
According to Billboard, McCartney ranks highest on hot rock songs via the Beatles' 1970 Billboard Hot 100 number one, Let It Be, which debuted at number 18.
The charts over in England respond that way. It's pretty wild. That's in England, I assume you're talking about, right?
You know what? I don't know, Steve. Yeah. It's Billboard. So older songs are able to re-enter the Hot 100 or its corresponding genre-based hybrid charts like hot rock songs.
Interesting.
If they have meaningful reasons for their return and rank in a chart's top half. After McCartney performed Let It Be on Carpool Karaoke with Corden, It debuted thanks to 1.5 million U.S. streams.
Ah, wow.
A 68% gain and 10,000 downloads, up 973% in the week ending June 28th, according to Nielsen Music. So that's here, Steve.
That is pretty cool.
In addition to that, Paul's new AA-sided single is picking up traction with Come On To Me, which was performed in the Corden sketch as well. So a little resurgence in the popularity, which is pretty cool. And then I wanted to touch on this, and we'll have more from Pierre on his show today. But Foo Fighters played over the weekend, and apparently Dave gave some love to MMR while on stage.
That's so cool.
My neighbor texted me, who was at the show at the time. He's like, dude, Dave just went off on how great MMR was and all this. And I haven't really heard the details yet, but apparently Pancake was just in here. And he mentioned hanging out with Pierre and talking to him, and he mentioned Pierre's beard. And I'm not sure what all he had to say about MMR, but that's pretty damn cool, man.
My wife is at the concert. The Foo Fighters are her favorite band. So yeah. She was there with her girlfriends, and she had a blast. And she said that not only did MMR get a huge, huge shout out, but Dave's daughter sang backup vocals on one song. I don't know what song it was.
She's a good singer.
Yeah, yeah. He's just having so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, kudos, man.
Pierre cut his vacation short to come back and be a part of that, so I'm really glad he was able to get that shout out and spend some time with Dave Grohl.
Nice. And that's it. That's what I have in music.
That's all you need, man.
That's all you need. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a second, and we will get that letter of the day, and Pierre should be in here shortly. See what he's got coming up as well. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
MMR rocks. Enough said.
10:38 a.m. First day back after a bit of a stretch and a super long weekend. And we returned. Enjoyed today. It's been nice.
Yes. You got to do a lot of venting.
I did.
About your wonderful vacation.
Sorry about that. Tomorrow the show will be about someone else but me.
Hopefully nothing else goes on. Yeah, you never know. You could go home to something. There could be a llama standing in your living room when you get home.
Oh, wow. Well, hang on a second, guys.
Yeah.
Breaking news. What? Breaking news.
Two things. First of all, we do have the Foo Fighter shout out on our Vox Pro. Secondly, Wawa was listening and they did put up the poll on Twitter.
Really?
Yes.
All right. Love that.
So I gotta that's look awesome. It up, right?
Oh, here it is. Wawa etiquette. When do you hold the door open for a fellow Wawa customer? And it says when they're 10 feet away, as soon as they park, at eye contact or always.
That's actually a really well funny. Done poll.
Yeah, I like that.
All right, we'll have to see the results since we're obviously this is a bipartisan effort.
Yeah, it only started about an hour ago, so we'll find out tomorrow what the results of that are. So it should be kind of fun. Thank you to Mr. Quimby.
Yay!
This morning from the Green Legion, it is the Miller Lite London calling with Green Legion and the Preston and Steve Show. We are headed to broadcast live from London in October and to also see the Eagles play the Jaguars at Wembley Stadium. And you can win tickets on board for us. It's a trip, or you can purchase them as well. You can go to greenlegion.com to purchase your trip and come along for the whole shebang, man. And we will have the events that we will be at where you can get registered live coming in the near future. We'll have
it's
not until, I don't know, Case, when do those appearances start? You know?
Like, right away.
Really?
Yeah. So we're going to announce our winner, I believe, on September 6th. So there's 12 appearances between now and, I believe, Labor Day. Six of which Marissa is hosting, six with it, which is just Miller Lite on deck.
Right now you can check out WMMR.com for the basic information, but we'll be giving you the specifics on those locations and when they'll be happening.
You sound like you're from London.
Yeah, you can join us in London, which would be really, really cool. So thanks to Quimby from Green Legion for stopping by this morning. Pierre Robert is indeed here. How are you doing, sir?
Good day.
So we were just about to play the audio of Dave Grohl giving some love to you and the station.
We
on Saturday.
Spoke with Dave. Well, we had an MMRBQ, kind of a mini MMRBQ, I guess you could say, really, for our 50th with the Foo. It was a big, big show. Did you shave over the weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I shaved my beard off.
Don't go near him.
It has to do with lice, which he's crawling with.
I'll explain it later on.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then there it is. So we had this great barbecue and a giant tent backstage. And
wait a minute. Did you break your finger?
I did.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Okay. So I just noticed that.
I noticed that, too. I was waiting.
I figured you jumped in with the beard. Yeah. I may as well jump in with the finger.
No, sure.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
I was in California, and I was at the gym about to do squats and just doing a little warm-up thing.
Yeah.
And I was not paying attention. You know how you drift off?
Yeah.
And I somehow just lost...
The collar on the weights?
Well, no. The bar was a thing. The weights were on. Very lightweight, though. Nothing. Yeah. And it's just a freakish accident. It just slipped off the thing and hit my nail at the top of my left, whatever that
is. Your ring finger. Yeah.
And then blood started spurting everywhere. And I was mortified. Just it made a noise when it clanked down. And I go, blank. Yeah. And I'm running to get the spray, you know, where you spray your sweat off. And I'm trying to wrapping up my finger in my shirt and cleaning up because I don't want anyone. I want to clean up the blood.
Okay.
And then I went into the bathroom and unwrapped my finger from my shirt, and the top of my finger was hanging down.
Oh,
it split the top third of your digit. It split it
the
right
first
in
knuckle.
Half.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was hanging down there, and I'm going.
That's not good. Yeah.
So the gym guy came. He said, "Do you need a Band-Aid?" I said, "Yeah," and maybe I'll take two. And then I said, "Do you have any tape I could kind of wrap it with?" And he gives me packing tape, like UPS tape. So I left with this thing, and then I drove myself to the hospital.
There you go.
And
so is it broken or just cut?
It cracked the bone, so therefore it's broken.
It's brought.
Sorry to hear that, man.
When I looked in, I could see the bone.
Oh, God. Okay.
All right, anyhow, back to what you were saying.
No.
Okay.
About Foo Fighters?
Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters!
So,
nice barbecue in the back setup.
Thank you. Help me. Just help me, Jesus, and I'll get there.
Yeah.
We had a great barbecue. We had lots of winners backstage, some of our staff. Many of the DJs were there, and we had such fun. And the entire band came in and mingled with the crowd.
The entire band. How awesome is that?
It was so nice. I mean, and every one of those guys is really incredibly nice. And Dave has a reputation of being nice, but they are all nice. Chris Shiflett and Nate Mandel and Taylor Hawkins and Pat Smear and everybody. They were all there walking around. And the gentleman who does keyboards, Raffi, I think is his name. They were so kind and so friendly. And we took a big picture with the winners. Another picture with our staff, which may be posted at this point. And
People must have been out of their minds.
They were. And our winners, I've got some great interviews with our winners who just couldn't believe that they're face-to-face with their hero.
Yeah.
And there's just nothing like that, you know. It just gets me so off when you see them get off.
Sure.
And, you know, and he's extraordinarily. One girl said, you know, I was just, and then all of a sudden I felt something and I looked around and it's Dave. You know, and he's just like hanging out and talking. So, and then afterwards we went into a backstage room and did an interview, Dave and myself. And I mentioned our birthday to him and he was kind enough to give us a birthday greeting.
Are you going to be playing back segments of that today? Or?
Yeah, I'm going to do the whole thing back.
Excellent.
Maybe, I don't know, 1-2 o'clock, depending on how long Pancake takes to
chop it.
Edit it.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, we're not cutting anything out of it. It wasn't terribly, terribly long, but it was great. And he's just so fascinating. I just want a blood transfusion from him so I could clean my room because he's so energetic and so involved in so many things.
And he has pledge in his butt.
Took me a second.
I know, me too.
clean my room. I didn't get. I thought you were talking about your bleeding hand. Lost me.
Oh.
Shall we play the clip from him on stage?
Please.
I asked him if he'd wish us happy birthday. And he said, you know what? I got to put that on the set list so I don't forget it.
Nice.
And Pancake and I are in the pit the entire time. And then at the beginning of the encore, I can't remember exactly what he said, but this is some version of it.
Good call on asking him. Here is the clip.
So earlier today, I spent some time with the nice people from WMMR, the radio station. We're having a 50th
couldn't tell what he said there.
I couldn't tell.
I can only hope that my beard grows out to be as perfectly colored as yours.
Now he's talking about
me.
He
was pointing to
yeah.
you?
Yeah, he could see me in the pit.
Awesome.
And,
oh, that's cool.
And right you here. Can clean your room with his blood.
Yeah. Pancake.
Right there, the whole crowd around Pierre was pointing to him, and what you couldn't hear is Dave said, "I see you there, Pierre."
Oh, okay.
No, that's cool.
He did.
Okay. I couldn't hear what
Let's
he was
rewind
saying.
That.
All right, back it up a little bit. There you go. Hang on. Yeah, I see you there, Pierre.
I see you, Pierre.
Yeah.
I can only hope that my beard grows out to be as perfectly colored as yours. I think that that's fake as you die that I know you do.
I'm calling you out on dying it, he says.
We got that die for man thing on our pension.
He says something about me dipping my chin in peroxide or something to get the white spot. I think that's coming up.
Yeah.
Dip your chin in some peroxide. Yeah. I see you. I know your name.
That's awesome, man.
Isn't that great?
Great. It's really, really cool.
We'll have the entire interview. Again, depending on how we might run it at 1:00, we might do a special presentation at 2:00, depending on how long we've got, and such great concert coverage, and we've got our winners who were so excited. So we're going to run a lot of those pieces throughout the program.
It sounds phenomenal. My heart goes out to Marissa. You were unable, yeah.
Yeah, she took this trip to Ireland, and then after it already made her traveling arrangements that this backstage thing was going on with.
Right up her alley.
Yeah, she would have been all over it. We need to do the letter of the day, if you don't mind, sir, and we'll find out what you got coming up on today's program. Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by The Letter.
F as in Foo Fighters.
Fair enough. We have 5 letters. They make 1 word.
In order.
Yeah. I'll tell Pierre about it in a second. We're going to give away a 2-hour axe throwing experience for 10 people in the Philadelphia area's most extreme axe throwing venue, Choppers Hatchet House in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Visit choppershh.com. While you were gone, Robin Lee did the letters of the day. Robin didn't know that they actually go in order to spell out a word. She just thought you throw out letters and then people had to unscramble them and make them into a word.
Like a word scramble.
So, she's new here.
Yeah.
Well, she said she's been listening to the show all the way back to Y100, so she's heard it.
I can tell closely.
But she never knew that it was done that way, and so the letters she did were E-B, intending for the word to be B, but it was Eb that we had to go with, which is not a word. E-B is not a word.
It's a name.
Yeah, exactly. From
there were 2 letters, just 2 letters, right?
Penny Green Coach, Acres.
Green Acres, yeah.
That's right. Eb. Yeah. Mr. Douglas?
That's right.
Eb. Well, it's a fine word.
So anyhow, it is a fine word, and we will give that away on Friday, this Word of the Week prize. What else is coming up on today's program?
We'll have Workforce Blocks, Def Leppard, and STP, and maybe more, depending on where we're going to put our Foo Fighters block. And that may even go in its own special place, like I said, at 2:00, but we'll see. We'll have archive track at 1:30 with Mungo Jerry. You guys are heading to London, which is cool. The Morning Zoo went to London several times in the 80s. And Mungo Jerry, the guy that did In the Summertime.
Sure.
In the summertime.
When the weather is
There it was.
Excuse me? Meow.
Is there a cat in there?
Go ahead.
And they got him somehow to do that. And some people are shaking cans and stuff in the background to go,
stop it!
And all that stuff. So somehow they got him to do that. And we'll play that at 1:30-ish.
Are you singing it or am I singing it?
Is this the actual audio?
Yeah.
When the weather is hot, you can fish right
is
up
it?
And touch the sky. When the weather's right, you got women.
Wait.
You got women on your mind.
I don't know. I guess. Yeah. That sounds like I don't remember this, but I don't doubt that it happened.
Okay.
So there it is.
Well, you can hear that. It's very cool. That's just one of the many countless obscure things that you have that are in the archives, which are great. Love hearing them.
Yeah, this will be cool, and it is summertime, so it's perfect to play it. And we'll have Kevin come in later and tell us the story of the choo-choo-choo-choo-choos.
Awesome. Right. Awesome. Of the choo-choos.
Or yep. The doo-doo-doo-doos, or the woo-woo-woo-woos, or the boo-boo-boo-boos, or the la-la-la-las, or the da-da-da-das.
Or the scoopity-poops.
Or the scoopity-poops.
Man.
You got it all, baby. Right here. That's everything that lots. Well, I was trying to say the laws or da's or boops or dops, and I just said laws.
Oh, lots. Everything that laws, okay.
Exactly.
I thought it was everything that lots.
Well, that's what I actually said, but I meant it to be everything that lotty.
Give the man a break. He's got cleaning blood pumping through his veins.
Our sponsors of the Preston and Steve Show include Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin', also brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Tomorrow's program is going to be a great one, man. Ian LaPerriere.
Ah.
It's been a long time since we've had him in our studio, and he will be here tomorrow morning. We're also going to talk to one Mr. Rob Reiner on the program, who we had on not that long ago, but he's always a great interview.
Got another movie out.
And we're going to give away a trip to the Brian Dawkins Hall of Fame induction ceremony via the Green Legion, and that includes transportation, accommodations, and a tailgate party for that event, and induction ceremony tickets, too. So it should be very cool. And we're giving that away tomorrow. So get yourself set for that. That's it. We're done. Rage on, and have yourself a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Okay? Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
To my lovely sister, you have the time to protest everything, but yet you have the nerve to ask me to borrow lots of money. Why don't you take some of your protest time and get a second job? And then we won't be in this predicament.
Next message.
A cheer for Kathy Romano. She's going to win it all for Boxco. Love you, Kathy. Keep kicking ass. Boxco rules, baby. Yeah.
Next message.
Whoever okayed all this construction on 95 during rush hour, I'm going to f*** your wife. I'm going to get her digits. I'm going to hit her up. I'm going to lay down the mat. And I'm going to f***. And just know, bud, you brought this f*** on yourself.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.